with this meeting, and I will call the regular meeting 2015-24 to order at 7:03. And would you all please rise for the flag salute? Ms. Becker, will you lead us, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Madam Becker. Roll call, Ms. Sika.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Ms. Vladishevsky?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Ms. Kroll?
Here.
Ms. White?
Here.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, we have two things for the special order of business. One of them is a roundabout delivery from the school that came up and gave us... She's getting the mic up. The school that came up this past week and played football against our...
Did you turn it off? There you go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Speak right into it. That came up and played football against our football teams this past week. And it was a message from their mayor from the city of White Rock, and from their office of the mayorship in British Columbia. And they wanted to thank us and thank us for the exchange and the courtesy that we gave to their kids while they were here. I hope we acted appropriately. I haven't heard any good things or bad things. We won the ball game, but anyway, it's a nice little thing. I'm going to pass it down the road and let you people read it, the rest of the assembly members read it. It's a neat idea. It might be something that we can keep in mind as an idea for us as we go out with our sports teams and move forward.
I love that. That's nice.
The next item on the agenda is a special item that I think that probably all of us on the assembly care about and knew, and I think probably most of you in the chambers here visiting with us tonight have had a chance to meet Mr. John Venables. And we have the privilege of having the honorary Mr. Robert Venables here with us tonight to accept this proclamation. So, Robert, will you come up and stand with me, and we'll read this proclamation for your dad? As most of us know, John Venables passed away this past year, and we will all miss him. He was a character. He loved our community. And he fit right in with our community, a bunch of us who are out there a little way. Right, Robert? Anybody who don't know Robert, Robert is from Haines and has been, and I've worked with him on Southeast Conference for the past 13 years. So we've had a close relationship and with the family. And like I say, I know that most of you people who have run for the assembly or for some type of assembly position had met his dad and worked with him and seen what a neat person he was and is. So, the Office of the Mayor, City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, Mayoral Proclamation. Whereas John Venables moved to Haines, Alaska from Florida in the mid-1960s with his son and from then on considered Alaska his home. And whereas he was a beloved historical reenactor who was known for dressing up as William Henry Seward and Judge James Wickersham, as well as many others, to educate people about Alaska's path to statehood. Whereas John was a fixture of Juneau's celebrations of Alaska Day, Seward's Day, and other holidays. And whereas in 2008, he staged a series of historical reenactments using a grant he received from the Rasmussen Foundation. And whereas John worked tirelessly for placement of a statue of William Henry Seward in the plaza of the Diamond Courthouse in Juneau and held a ceremonial groundbreaking ceremony in 2013, dressed in full regalia of the Seward costume. And whereas he took an interest I'm reading into this a little bit, as you know, Robert. And whereas he took an interest in Alaska's special days of honor and made sure that each and every one of us was and them were celebrated. And whereas an electronic Alaska history book authored by John, Journey to Statehood, was published in 2015. And whereas John passed away in Delta Junction, Alaska, on July 2, 2015, and whereas he loved Juneau, the great state of Alaska, and its history. Now, therefore, I, Merrill Sanford, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby recognize and honor John Venables for his unending dedication to the betterment of Alaska and all its citizens. In witness whereof, I have hereto set my hand and caused the seal of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, to be affixed this 31st day of August, 2015. Merrill Sanford, Mayor.
You want to say anything, Mr. Venables?
Offer me a microphone. My father truly did love this city and the great state, and he worked tirelessly his later years to make sure that those had done so much for the state and for this community were not forgotten. So the family truly appreciates the fact that you remembered him this way. So I just thank you all.
You're going to be just as much of a character as well, right?
Well, your shoes to fit.
Practicing.
And I know that none of us had control of John Venables, but either did his son, so. Or the rest of his family. Thanks, Robert, for being here with us. Okay, we'll move on to approval of minutes. And we have two sets of minutes. Is there any corrections to the August 10th, 2015 regular assembly meeting 2015-22? Seeing or hearing none, they're so ordered, accepted. Now we have the August 17, 2015 special assembly meeting number 2015-23. Mr. Heal.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the last page under assembly comments and questions, that first sentence should read that I noted the Title 49 committee will not have its work finished and submitted timely. So if we could change that from the marijuana committee to the Title 49 committee.
You don't want to take any more heat than you have to, do you, Mr. Keel?
Got plenty coming, thanks.
All right. You've got that change, Madam Clerk. Is there any other corrections? Seeing and hearing no objections, so ordered for the 2015-23 as corrected. Manager's request for agenda changes. Mr. Steedle.
There are two. So, mysteriously, an update on the Lemon Creek incident is listed as appearing in executive session. We will not be discussing that. Secondly, the unfinished business item of the Bicknell case should be moved to the end of the agenda so that you could adjourn into special session to discuss that. Executive session.
Executive session.
Right. And this is not an agenda change, but I would note that Ordinance 2015-41, which is being introduced tonight, has an error in the manager's report, and the amount is $225, not $200. That will be corrected for the next meeting. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Steedle. Anything else from the assembly members? Mr. Keel.
Just a question, Mr. Mayor. The proposed comments to the Marijuana Control Board, should we take those up under committee reports, or am I missing them? I apologize, I'm not seeing them.
I think because it was all written up here at the last minute, in the last hour probably, some of it, we'll take it up during your comments at your committee, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. Okay, Ms. Becker.
Mr. Mayor.
We need to do...
Mr. Mayor?
Sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Just a point of clarification. So even though we've moved the Bucknell issue to the executive session, we will be able to have public testimony on it prior to the executive session?
No.
No?
Nope, not until we hear this thing ourselves.
Okay.
We haven't heard the end of it here. So we have to do that, and that was a mistake with the mix-up of different people working on the agenda. So, okay, so those were the two approval of minutes. Manager request for agenda changes. Is there anything else for agenda changes? We'll go to the consent agenda in just a minute. And now we'll open it up for public participation on non-agenda items. We have two people, Mr. Ben Wilcox, to talk about the marijuana committee participation stuff. You can come up first, Mr. Wilcox. And then we will have Mr. Wayne Coogan to talk about Westview Apartments. Pardon? Yeah, 5 minutes each.
Excellent. Hello, my name is Benjamin Wilcox. I'm a resident of Juneau, Alaska, and it is very good to see all these full seats because that is kind of what brings me here. Participation. As most of you know, some of you might not, we have a marijuana committee in this town that is supposed to be dealing with all of the issues that come with that new industry. I'm a little frustrated, maybe a lot frustrated, so if I bounce around a little, I apologize. What frustrates me is there's a lot of empty seats at those. This is a volunteer, I believe, from the Assembly and, Planning Commission, etc. Yet, it doesn't seem too important. Definitely not as important as these meetings. We have members of that committee that don't read the material, even though it's been publicly available for almost 3 weeks prior to this. And, you know, that's something I've read 4 times. I know we're all busy. We all have lives outside of this. We're all hoping to turn these into a new life, possibly. I've spent the time reading the economic development plan, yet it seems like a lot of the attitudes coming from maybe the city or certain representatives contradict that. Instead of trying to provide an environment where this industry might flourish and be well regulated, we're trying to impede that. We're trying to impede new jobs, new revenue for this city, which we all know we need. Brought that point up many, many times. But going back to it, these seats are full right here and right now. That does not happen at our meetings, which we wait every 2 weeks for. We stay in our corner. We stay out of your hair here. Yet, even though we do that, certain members of that committee, I should say, still find the time to go out and publicly solicit the right people to show up at these meetings because the right people don't show up at them. That's insulting. Obviously, we all have certain agendas in this city. We all show up when we can to address them and take the time to try to make sure they work out well. So obviously the right people who care about that issue show up for those meetings. To have somebody out soliciting to get more people in to show an opposing voice. Maybe there isn't that opposing voice out there. If it was, obviously people can make it to these meetings. I drug myself out of my house on this wonderful, beautiful Juneau day. I shaved, I showered, I dressed up, I did everything I'm supposed to do to get in here. And let you know that it is getting a little frustrating to those of us who are trying to work with the city on this issue to not have people show up, to have the meetings canceled. Many other municipalities in this state have public on that committee. If we have these empty seats and these volunteers don't have the time to deal with the material, fill them with the public. We have the time. We'll make the time. We have the interest. We want this to be done well. We don't want it fly by night, pieced together, so it's going to fall apart. Why do we not have the public voice in sitting in some of these seats when we have vacant seats every meeting? Whoever makes that decision, I think it should be revisited.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. And I appointed the committee myself, Mr. Mayor.
Excellent.
And those people that are on that committee are people from this assembly who work hard and want to do a good job in accordance with the law that has been put before us, and they're waiting for state roll down of their records. And, we happen to have a lot of people here for this meeting. This is, one out of 20 meetings that we have where we have a nice full house because we have a lot of different things on the agenda. Sometimes we have millions of dollars that we deal with in the budget, and there isn't one person from the public here to testify yes or no to those things. So it's not the people that are on the committee that are picking people to come here and give testimony, and you can bring in as many people as you want to give testimony, and I'm sure the committee chairman will facilitate that. And that's what it's all about.
Okay. May I?
One what? Question, and that's it, Mr. Wilcox.
Oh, it wasn't a question. I'm sorry. It was in the statement where people can't find the time to review the material that was out for 3 weeks, yet the statement made was, I just received this material. Everybody else can find it. We have one of our assembly members who sits on the marijuana committee. I'm sure he found the time to read the material to be on a committee. It is volunteer. These people don't have to sit there.
No, they do. I appointed them.
Well?
Yes.
Then that's what I'm asking, is maybe we should fill those seats with people who would like to be there and make
it
for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your day.
Yep. And we'll go to Mr. Wayne Coogan.
I'm Wayne Coogan, and I'm happy. I hope everybody's happy. It's great. I sent you folks a communication recently, and it was about a housing project that I wanted to suggest, a 60-unit housing project down by the bridge. And the reason why I'm coming here tonight is because it might be viewed that my suggestion is tardy because there's some other project in line that's shovel ready for that property down there. But I couldn't help myself. I had to ring the bell a little bit here. The project contains a series of unique features that, in my opinion, are necessary to do a 60-unit apartment project in this area of downtown Juneau. I don't see another parcel like it. So I figured I had to say something, and I apologize that it's late. I don't have any explanation for that except that I've been busy, and it just dawned on me because I drive across the bridge every day to go to another project I'm working on, so I noticed the property, and it just started gnawing on me, so I started calling some staff, and I came up with this idea. And, you know, in my opinion, if it causes some inconvenience to the other project, I mean, this thing was never intended to be anti-whale or this housing project or the whale. I believe in my heart that it could exist. They could coexist. It's no big deal. It's just a matter of adjustment. It's not anything has to be. There's no big dramatic changes. I think just some adjustments to the plans could allow for this. So my main reason for coming here tonight was to apologize for the tardiness of the suggestion. I think the suggestion is worth looking at, though. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Coogan. Is there any questions for Mr. Coogan about this? Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Coogan, I did receive your communication, and I found it intriguing. But the design kind of, you know, with the 60 units, it kind of presented itself as sort of an all or nothing kind of thing. I didn't see where it blended in with the long-term waterfront project and to accommodate the whale and everything. And curious if you would be willing to revisit that project with city staff to look at how the two objectives might be able to meet together.
Well, I'm limited on time, ma'am, but that relates back to what I said earlier about the key ingredients, the necessary factors that are without them you cannot do a project like this, and one of those is parking. If the city had no parking ordinance related to no code requirement for parking, I would require it myself. I would not limit myself to only those tenants who don't drive cars. I couldn't do that. So I'm thinking a project would not be feasible without the parking. So that's probably one of the biggest hurdles. But, you know, everything can be looked at and reviewed and worked out. Maybe it could be reduced in scope to share. It's something that should be discussed. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's if anybody else has any questions at this time, ask the questions, and then at the end of the meeting, if anybody wants to bring it up under other assembly comments and questions, to move it forward as a look at or whatever you wish to do, then we'll do that at that time. So, any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Cougar. And I see here we have a Zeke Smythe. It looks like a type. So, yeah. Come on up.
Housing Recreational Opportunity Project over on Douglas. I'm here for...
If you can sit down and give us your name and rank and serial number.
My name's Zeke Smythe. Live here in Juneau, working on a housing recreational project over on Douglas, right across the street from the Tank Farms. I've selected other on the form because my neighbor, Ms. Ziggy, is on the agenda next week for her. Well, we're on the same track, USMS 569. She's having some issues with getting access to her lots. There's a steep drop off the front, so I just want to give you guys a heads up that we are working together and getting easements in for her subdivision on our stuff. I just wanted the city council to know heads up. So if you want to see the map afterwards, we have it on the computer here. So okay. Just want to give you a heads up on that.
And Mr. Smythe, you've been working through CDD and the different staff.
Property owners.
Who have got this in front
staff.
Of them.
Yeah, everyone does. But this is for her for next, on the 22nd. That we'll have this all mapped out and ready to go for her. This is for her. So.
Okay, make sure it all goes through that CDD department first, and then it'll come to us.
Okay.
Any questions for Mr. Smythe? Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Okay, I don't see any other hidden ones here. So that is public participation, and if there's any questions on any of those three items that you wish to bring up, assembly members at the end of the meeting is the appropriate place for it. We'll move on to the consent agenda. And is there anybody from the public who wishes to pull, other than ordinance is for introduction, wants to pull something, some informational sheet from the consent agenda? This is your opportunity as the public to pull something off the consent agenda besides ordinances. Seeing nothing, public requests for consent agenda changes are closed, and we'll move forward to assembly requests for consent agenda changes. Anybody? Seeing none, Madam Becker, assembly action.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the assembly adopt the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move forward to public hearing. Madam Clerk, could you please read the ordinance number 2015-03C?
An ordinance amending the land use code relating to subdivisions.
Gee, that's too fast, Ms. Zika. City Manager, can we have an administrative report?
I thought she would keep on reading for a while. The proposed ordinance would amend portions of Title 49, the Land Use Code, primarily regarding the requirements and improvements related to the subdivision of land. The most significant proposed changes include increasing the number of lots in a minor subdivision, streamlining the process for major subdivision review, revising remote subdivision requirements, and revising street improvement standards to provide more options for street construction, including the option for developers to construct privately maintained access roads. There are a number of minor changes as well. The Planning Commission reviewed the proposed ordinance at its May 26th meeting and recommended forwarding to the full Assembly for approval. The Assembly Committee of the Whole considered this ordinance at its July 27th and August 3rd meetings. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Steedle. And I will now open this up for public comment. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-03C? Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward to assembly action. Ms. Becker. Sir. Go ahead, Ms. Becker. I'm sorry.
I'm willing for you to hand it on to someone else.
Okay,
thank you.
Well, we got somebody down there. Ms. Fanachewski. Go ahead.
I'm going to ask for an amendment, so do I do that?
We have to put it on the floor first.
Okay. I would move ordinance. Sorry.
Here. 2015-03C.
C.
Yes. Thank you. Is there any objections to it moving forward onto the floor? Seeing none.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ms. Fadachevsky, you have an amendment?
I do. I'll pass it out to members. It's a simple one. I was not here at the COW, the last COW, so couldn't offer it. So it's on page 52 of the ordinance. You move to page 52. It is one of the roadway construction standards, and as the, construction standards are not variable, you can't ask for a variance for these, so these are all mandatory. And we've heard from citizens in subdivisions regarding streetlights, and the proposed ordinance says if a subdivision has more than 500 average daily trips, that the streetlights would be continuous in that subdivision. And that there could never be anything less than continuous. I would propose that we change the word continuous to at all intersections, which is what it is for the smaller subdivisions, and just speak to that. If a subdivision needs more light for safety, if a subdivision developers or owners want more light, they certainly can have it. But if we don't say at all intersections, we would make all subdivisions have to have continuous light. So I talked to the engineering director, and he doesn't see any problem with it saying this.
All those subdivisions over 500 trips a day.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay, the motion has been made to cross out continuous and to put in there at all intersections. Everybody's got that? Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. A question, whether from Ms. Gladyszewski, the city attorney. In the event of a very large subdivision going in, would the Planning Commission have the authority to require as part of its review for instance, the largest arterial street, feeding that subdivision to have more than just intersection subdivisions? Could they, on a case-by-case basis, look at a particular, you know, the biggest feeder that ties to the highway?
You mean require a light there?
Require lights along that largest street, just as an example.
We'll let staff answer that if we could.
Yeah.
Ms. Mead, do you?
I think that the way it would read is that these are the minimum standards.
Right.
And if it was needed for health, safety, and welfare reasons, we always have the authority to amend the standards if necessary for health, safety, and welfare standards. There is the section in the beginning of 4935 that allows for the Director of Engineering and Public Works to prescribe different or additional standards if there's an unusual or unforeseen condition, or if something else is needed to meet the intent of the ordinance, which is to provide for health and safety. So I think that provision would allow for something else to be imposed if the director felt it was necessary.
Thank you. That satisfies the one concern I had. I'll support the amendment.
Any other comments on this particular amendment? Okay, we'll mark this as amendment number one. And is there any objections to amendment number one? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Since we're on this table, there is a typo that I wanted to point out.
It's the Go ahead, Ms. Lee.
Average daily trips, second line down, it should read 212 to
499.
Oh,
yeah. 212.
Yeah, it's the bottom. Mm-hmm. It's 12. Yep. Thank you. Okay. Anything else on... This amendment has passed. Anything else? Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to propose an amendment, and I'm sorry I didn't copy it off, so if everybody will turn to page 7 of 80, or in terms of your packet page, page 65 of 181, where it talks about the purpose of subdivision lands, and it lays out six purposes. Under purpose number 5, so it would be line 7 on page 7 of 80, where it reads, establish procedures for subdividing land to accommodate a variety of housing types. I would like to add 4 words, while addressing neighborhood harmony. And
procedure. So at the end of it?
Establish procedures for subdividing land to accommodate a variety of housing types while addressing neighborhood harmony. And then you go to and go to number 6. And if I can speak to my amendment.
Everybody have that written down so you can see it? Okay, Ms. Troll, go ahead and give us your input.
A lot of the revisions in Title 49 is to help move subdivisions in a more timely fashion through the process. And, you know, we are adjusting the road requirements, and we're doing a lot of good things to help facilitate more timely development. But I think it needs to be balanced out to ensure that we can make some site-by-site accommodations to accommodate the neighborhoods. I contemplated the words very carefully. I purposely chose to say addressing neighborhood harmony instead of maintaining or consistent with the neighborhood. So it's a soft touch. It is a desire that those accommodations, you know, be sought after. I think many of us received some email correspondence from people who were experiencing some recent subdivisions and land clearings and not getting notification and being upset. And I think with a little bit of sensitivity, we can move and be more expeditious about these subdivisions without having to forego the need to talk to your neighbors, adjust your buffers. Maybe it's a fence. It's nothing onerous to accommodate. And I spoke with the Department of Community Development, and these were the words that they thought were fine, and the Department of Law. And rather than get into any fine definition of what is constituted by neighborhood harmony, I would just like to ask for this change now and then ask CDD to review Title 49, and if we need any more clarification, to come back with that at a later date.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Are there any other statements on this amendment? Mr. Jones.
Thank you. Having been the liaison for the Planning Commission for the last year, I know that's those words are ones that they struggle with a lot. How to define it, how to deal with it when 10 people testify and 5 say it's fine with neighborhood harmony and 5 say it isn't. Each 10 people have often a different definition of what neighborhood harmony is. Secondly, I think this is in the front part of this section. And I believe in the comprehensive plan, and part of what I understood at Planning Commission meetings, neighborhood harmony is also part of some of the issues where commercial is near residential areas. And by putting those words under number five, it only deals with subdividing land for housing versus subdividing for commercial or mixed use or whatever. While this section deals with both commercial and residential subdivision, so I don't know that it's necessarily placed well for being a general section that starts out a 80-page revision to this. It might be better if it's addressed under A or becomes its other number or something, but I'm just confused by putting that specifically on residential when I think in the comprehensive plan those words also appear in commercial subdivision or commercial development at all. So I sort of asked that question. Maybe Ms. Mead has a better answer or somebody from CDD. But
Ms. Mead?
Not addressing the first part about the struggles that CDD or the Planning Commission right. might have with those definitions. This subdivision can happen on commercial or residential. This is just a general applicability section, so I think it would be okay there. And I did review those sections of the comprehensive plan, ironically, today. And the concept that's embodied there is that we will use the tools available to us in managing the development of property in order to address issues like that. And what they mean is we'll use the tools we have, like buffers or vegetative requirements and things like that, setbacks, in order to make sure that we are preserving neighborhood harmony. And I think this just is another, just a little bit added guidance to CDD and the Planning Commission to use the tools that are available in Title 49 to address those concerns when they're considering allowing subdivisions to go forward.
I might follow up, Mr. Mayor. Then that's, I guess that begs the question, why just here when it talks about housing type and not somewhere where it applies to all of the subdivision sections, not just housing? I guess I don't have any problem with enhancing some of the issues around housing because maybe that's more important to people than, you know, the way Costco looks or the way Home Depot looks. But it's in a general section at the beginning of a large chapter, and to only do it on a very specific part of it was my question.
And I see that now. It could be its own subsection. It could be moved out away from the reference to housing if that's what you want to do. This is still the right place for it, though. It would just need to be its own subsection.
Do we want staff to come up from CDD and give their thoughts on it, Mr. Steedle?
Well, that's entirely your call. I do want to suggest to Ms. Troll that this also could be put after number four, which I believe would address Mr. Jones' concern.
Yeah, and if I may speak, Mr. Mayor, that's actually where I first put it. But I was trying to be a little bit more accommodating and to the fact that this proposal is trying to make subdivisions happen more timely and everything, so that's where I punted back to number five, and I am fine with it in either place. I just want the notion there, and to me, I think the important thing is that, you know, I'm not stressing that it has to be maintained or it has to be consistent, but I just want that notion of neighborhood harmony to be embodied in our purposes here. I think it's a very important element not to be lost.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Ms. White.
I'm not in favor of this amendment because I really feel that the words addressing neighborhood harmony are going to be misused. I personally find somebody's barking dog to be a lot more annoying than somebody cutting down the trees on their own land. And so I would definitely not support this amendment.
Anybody else on the assembly? Mr. Nan Curvis, do you have anything?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I object as well. May I speak to my objection?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Much as Mr. Jones has stated, if you've been to the Planning Commission and you've watched CDD and the Planning Commissioner struggle with that phrase, you realize just how difficult it is to deal with that phrase. It is in the comp plan, and it's in other places in our in Title 49, as the lawyer alluded to, ways to deal with buffers and things like that. But as the maker of the motion even stated, that it's difficult to define neighborhood harmony. And I think if you can't define it, how do you know that if you're addressing it or not? And it just sets you up for failures, actually murkies the water, and that instead of making it any cleaner, I think there's other ways to to address it, excuse me, than looking at it in the fashion as it's been forwarded. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Anyone else? Ms. Gladachewski.
Can someone from CDD tell us where the Planning Commission is required to address neighborhood harmony already? Because I know it is, because we spend hours and hours and hours doing that.
We have, haven't we? Way back when our
time. We have, Mr. Mayor, when we sat next to each other on the Planning Commission.
It's the conditional use permit process.
And it says that. So that's not taken out of the law right now.
No, that applies to conditional use permits. Yes.
I had the page, but it got ripped out when I was just moving.
So does it
is in the conditional use permit section, and it's one of the three criteria in the beginning for review.
So does it only apply to the conditional use process then, right now?
Yeah.
Right now.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Ms. Becker, you had your hand up?
I was just going, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just going to say that I also am having difficulty with it, and I don't think at this point I would want to support that because it's in other places and because it looks to me like this says subdividing land. CDD is going to have to go to a lot of requests to find out about harmony before anything's actually been done. If there are places where it's already addressed, it seems like maybe that's a better place for it. But I don't think it's a good place here. And I think I can think of at least two places where the Planning Commission changed their mind because someone came in and complained. And it seems like this is a great way to address a person not liking something, even though it may be legally okay. I just am not real comfortable with it. If it's already other places and it's worked in other places, I'm in favor of leaving it in the other places.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Mr. Jones?
I think Ms. Becker brings up another point, that when a subdivision request comes before the Planning Commission, they deal with it as a subdivision. They don't deal with, what are you going to do with the land? You're going to put up X buildings? Are you going to do this? Because then there's a permit process that comes along with, we want to develop these many buildings, and they deal with traffic. They deal with other things. But the subdivision is just the subdivision of the land. It doesn't deal with the purpose of the land. It doesn't deal with, it's not a rezone. It's just subdivision. And so they don't get to the question of neighborhood harmony or a conditional use kind of permit, because this is just dividing the land. This is not the purpose or what they intend to do in terms of a project. And maybe Ms. Boyce can correct me if I'm wrong. So, I struggle with it here. I agree with the sentiment, but I just struggle with it here because this seems to be pre what is the project and how it might affect a neighborhood.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Keel, you had your finger up first.
Actually, Mr. Jones framed that question so much better than I was about to ask it. He saved all of us a lot of time. The question, I guess, would be, at present, before we change the code, when a subdivision of a dozen or 20 lots were to come to the Planning Commission, is neighborhood harmony something that is considered?
Yes,
that's part of the conditional use review of the subdivision, since that's where major subdivisions now live.
Okay, so then I guess given that, I mean, I just flip back to the comp plan, and when I look at where I find neighborhood harmony within our comprehensive plan, it speaks to new development, particularly infill development, and that's where it talks about neighborhood harmony. So as we, I mean, this ordinance, the underlying ordinance, is about streamlining our process and really changing which subdivisions need to go to the Planning Commission. So as fewer subdivisions go to the Planning Commission, it seems to me that keeping neighborhood harmony in what is now a staff review instead of our diligent and dedicated Planning Commissioner's review, it would seem to make sense.
Thank you, Mr. Field. Ms. Crane.
When we were first discussing this, we now have the planning director approving subdivisions up to 12, 13 lots. Mm-hmm. And the information that we received from CDD said specifically the CDD director will not have to consider neighborhood harmony or property valuation. And that has been my biggest problem with this whole ordinance. I think it is an important consideration at the front end and will save a lot of time and difficulty at the other end if there is some consideration given to neighborhood harmony.
Thank you, Ms. Gray. Anybody else? Ms. Gladys, yes, please.
I just want to clarify if what Ms. Crane said is true. So right now, in any subdivision of land over four lots, right, goes to the Planning Commission?
Correct, currently.
And so with this, something over 12 lots will go to the Planning Commission. And if it's over 12 lots, it enters the process that you described. It's a conditional use. No.
Currently it is.
Yes.
Not going forward.
So above 12 lots, it won't be a conditional use still. When is it a conditional use?
That would be when you're proposing something other than, if we're talking about residential development, something other than straight residential development that's allowed by right in the zoning district. If you're proposing to do a 20-unit common wall project, that would be a conditional use. That's a use that may or may not be appropriate in the zone district you're looking at. And that's when we would look at those compatibility issues.
So if it's a 30 single lots, 30 lots subdivision, it would not have to go to the Planning Commission?
Yes.
Oh, no, yes, it would.
Can I clarify?
Miss Mee.
Just to try to clarify, the one big change is that the process, we're creating a new process. So all of the subdivision review used to be run through the conditional use permit process. Now we're creating a new subdivision process, which means the criteria that the Planning Commission applied under the CUP process is not the same criteria it will apply under the subdivision process.
Go ahead.
And to follow up on that, one of the goals of this subdivision rewrite was to make the subdivision process more predictable. And so from the outset, what you have in here, the developer should reasonably know how he can develop his project to meet the zoning district standards. So that's.
Thank you. Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I guess one more point. I just didn't put it in this phrase, but I try and keep these things in mind when I'm viewing what to do. This, while it feels good to say it, I don't know that it does good to do it. If you look at it from a property owner's perspective, if this is my land and I want to do something with it, I already have rules and regs I have to follow. Now I have to see if everybody likes it before I can do it. And I think we're asking a lot. We already put down rules and regs on what you can and can't do in certain places, and now we have to make sure everybody likes what you do with your property. That just sticks in my craw. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. I think everybody's had a couple of whacks at this. Ms. Troll, you have the last word.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, this isn't about making sure everybody likes it. It's about making sure you check with your neighbors and you design your subdivision in a way that will accommodate their concerns. That's why it's addressing neighborhood harmony. And the conditional use process goes away for subdivisions 13 and under this rule. And so we're better off trying to address this on the front end when you're in the design stage rather than on the back end when all the neighbors are upset and come forward. And what we're doing is asking the department, who now has the purview to make these approvals, to reach out to the neighbors and address neighborhood harmony. This is not an onerous request by any means, and it doesn't mean a litmus test that everybody has to be happy.
Thank you, Ms. Trump. So we have before us amendment number 2, which adds to line 7, page 7 of 80, while addressing neighborhood harmony. Is there any objections to that amendment?
Yes.
I object.
Thank you. We'll take a roll call, please.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion fails.
So amendment number 2 fails. Is there anything else from the assembly members? Any other amendments? Mr. Jones?
Not amendments, Mr. Mayor. I just had a couple of questions for the attorney.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
As I reviewed this, and I have to admit, much briefer than I was hoping to do, I was looking for specific amendments, the rural reserve in terms of the private access roads, some of the ADT stuff. But I find there's a lot more of crossouts and stuff in the back, some of the definition sections in the back, some of the others. Is that just simply because in this version that was the difference between A and B and I just missed it the first time around? Or are those differences between B and C? Because I don't remember us as a committee of the whole discussing any of those sections.
Those were not changes in version C. The differences in version C are showed by italicized underlines and strike-throughs.
I understand, but on page 75, there's almost 7 lines of cross-through. You're eliminating most of the definition of a minor development. And I don't remember us talking about that. I don't remember seeing that in any other version. So I had to assume that that was new, and I'm just asking, is that new since we met the last time as a committee of the whole because of drafting issues, or was
no.
that something I missed in A and B?
That was in the original. That's not new.
Okay. So all of the Mr. Mayor.
And I'm sorry.
But all of the italicized and cross-throughs in here aren't all necessarily new to C. That's what I was reading when I read the manager's report, but yep. That's not what you're telling me now.
It is. The problem is that some of the headers in Title 49 are italicized. So if you look on the page that you were just referring, the header is italicized Rural Reserve District, but the bulk of the text is not. And I know I don't know where that came from or where that originated, but Title 49 has a lot of italics.
Okay, well, let's talk about page 77 under subdivision. Most of that definition is all underlined and then strike through. There's no italics. Is that new or is that something else that I missed the first go around?
That's not new. That was in the original.
Okay. I'm not sure that makes me any more comfortable with my homework success, but
Ms. Troll?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have one more amendment to propose.
Go ahead.
That would be on page 8 of 80 of the Title 49 packet, and it'll be page 66 of 181 in our packet page. And it gets to the public notice part. So if you come down to item number 2, where it talks about for subdivisions of 4 or fewer lots, the department shall mail a written notice of application to the owners of abutting property, and then it goes into for subdivisions of 5 to 13. I would like to delete the first 3 lines and just make it for subdivisions of 2 to 13 lots, The department shall mail notice of the application to the owners of record of all property and of all neighborhood associations listed with the municipal clerk located within 500 feet of the property being subdivided following the director's determination that the application is complete. Essentially, what my motion does is not, I don't want to make two different standards of public notice. Now that we are moving to minor subdivisions and we're no longer considering neighborhood harmony, I think it's really astute of us to make sure that we give good and fair public notice that there is a subdivision going on. So my amendment would require that subdivisions that are four or less would be treated the same as those subdivisions for 5 to 13 lots. And
I think we had a fairly good, robust discussion about this when this was finally formalized.
We did, Mr. Mayor, and
were you there at that particular meeting?
I was there, and but I was hoping that I would prevail on trying to address some neighborhood harmony, and then also between our meeting and now, I have since received email correspondences about a subdivision that occurred out in the valley where the abutting neighbors were not even notified of a subdivision, and there was land clearing, and it caused quite a bit of distress. And so I just think in fairness, in light of what I've since have learned between our meeting and now through the public process, I would like to extend that public notice to subdivision activities from 2 to 13 lots.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. This will be amendment number 3, and it's to take out those first 3 lines up to 4 subdivisions.
I object.
Thank you. Anybody wish to speak to their objections?
Sure.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
I just want to clarify the amendment because I'm a bit. So it would then read for subdivisions of 2 to 13 lots, the department shall, and everything before that is crossed off?
Yes, Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you.
And so that we add in the word 2 there also?
Change 5 to 2.
Change 5 to 2.
Yep. Okay, we had other objections down there, coming down the line. Mr. Keel?
I did object, yes.
Oh. Ms. White?
Yes, I did object. I think that this has already been worked out in great detail, and yes, I know that we had one complaint about one particular piece of property that was being subdivided, but there's always more to the story. But I feel that if we go making substantial changes to this ordinance, we're disrespecting the amount of work that's gone into it thus far, which has been years of work.
Thank you, Ms. White. Mr. Nankervis, do you have anything since I can't see you?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. No, I was going to object as well. It's unnecessary. We're back to what sounds to me like neighborhood harmony again and two losses. I'm going to have a tough time calling that a subdivision. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Anybody else? We have before us amendment number 3. And we still have an objection. Madam Clerk, will you please read the roll?
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion fails.
And Ms. Well, it doesn't matter. Motion failed, but you had all the information you needed for the record. Ms. Sika, even though it's failed, it should have shown the appropriate amendment in there. Okay. So, anything else? Mr. Jones?
A question. At the last committee of the whole, we had a long discussion about some issues in here that are contrary to current practice, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the question was, if we pass this ordinance, and is CDD going to stop current practice until they bring to us a draft that changes those sections to more match? And I think they were talking, you know, maybe a month to do that, or maybe a little less, I don't know. But it's been a couple, 3 weeks. So I guess my question is that in process? Are they working with law to bring forth those changes? As I said at the committee hall, I hesitate to pass an ordinance that staff have basically told us they're not enforcing part of it. They'll have to change their practice because now the ordinance really does solidify that they can't do what they've been doing, but they want to bring an amendment to us, and I want to make sure that that's on track to come to us as quick as possible so we can decide whether we want them to continue that practice or do what's in the law. So before I vote on this, I want to know where we're at in that process.
Thank you. And Ms. Mead will give us then an update on what they're doing to compensate for how they're doing it now and are going to do it in the next 3 months as they change the code. If you'll give us
the
update.
As we change the code, I hope.
Pardon me?
As we change the code, not as they change the code.
As we change the code. Yeah. We're the ones that are changing the code.
I know, but you said as they change the code. So
as they give us ideas to change the code, and then we change the code.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Mead?
It's my understanding that CDD intends to apply the ordinance as drafted. There is one change, and this is the change that's going to be addressed with a subsequent amendment. Right now, the frontage and the access requirements in current code are improvement standards. They are not; they cannot be varied. In this draft before you, access is found under the design section. Design elements you can get a variance for, and the reason why it's being left there is so that CDD can continue trying to address some of the more difficult properties that we have and apply different standards to allow some of those to move forward. But the plan is for CDD to articulate first internally what the minimum standards are that they would like to see embodied in the code. And I believe that's what they are working on.
And the question was, the follow-up for that was a time frame. Do we have a time frame on this issue? I know a time frame from us was.
We're
done.
We have tentatively scheduled the Planning Commission Committee of the Whole September 22nd to talk about this with them. And then from there, they would tell us either to take it to the Title 49 or Subdivision Review Committee or come straight to the Planning Commission.
So you're going to have enough information to give to the Planning Commission to be able to make those decisions at that meeting?
We hope so, yes.
I think we expect it. So, Mr. Jones?
Thank you. Since I'm liaison to the Planning Commission, I would generally attend, but I'm going to be on an airplane going to Anchorage. So maybe other members of the Assembly want to sit in. I know Mr. Nankervis often sits in to at least listen. But if the Planning Commission on September 22nd figures that they have not enough and they want it to go through a committee, you know, we're talking mid-November before it comes back to us. The other part is if it is part of the code that a variance is required, then that requires a considerable amount of staff work and then a hearing before the Planning Commission, and they can, you know, say no or yes. And I'm just cautious of our concerns at the Committee of the Whole, just how long this is going to take. When we sit up here and say yay or nay to a particular ordinance that we know really isn't being implemented the way this is written, and we want the changes sooner than later, whether mid-November or 1st of December is sooner than later, it's not in my book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my concerns, and I don't know how that's going to affect my vote at this point, but I have some real concerns about
And that's the reason why I asked Ms. Mead to talk about the variance situation in hand so that staff can do their job and so that developers can get a possible variance. They can go through that process that's legal and in the code right now under that section and then move forward with their project. So that's an acceptable way that we've been doing it. It's in accordance to law. Correct?
That is not the way that we have been doing it, but that is a way to move forward under the current ordinance.
Okay. Mr. Jones?
Well, I guess if some of our earlier statements and concerns about what this ordinance was about to make it simpler, more predictable, if one of the major issues is access, and that's something that can be a variance that's individually decided in each case by the Planning Commission, that takes away some of the purpose of this, which was to make it easier, simpler, and predictable, because I can tell you the variance requests before the Planning Commission are anything but predictable
mm-hmm.
in terms of their outcomes. So that doesn't give me much confidence that we're reaching one of our goals by passing this, at least in that particular part of this ordinance.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Jones. Any other comments, questions we have before us?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Nankervis, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not one that normally throws out last-minute amendments, but since they're in vogue tonight, I think I will. Page 31 of 80 on the ordinance, packet page 89 of 181. And since we are talking about things we talked about before, my amendment is under purpose. The underlying language that said located outside the urban service area, my amendment is that be struck. And I'd like to speak to my amendment.
Speak louder.
Jerry, you kind of faded out there. Say it one more time, Mr. Nankervis, please.
Under 4915.430, purpose, the underlying language located outside the urban service area, I would like to strike that language.
Okay, this is amendment number four.
Page 31.
Go ahead and speak. Pardon me?
Okay, so I don't know, maybe the boat turned or something. You can't hear me as well. But
just a minute, Mr. Nankervis.
We're just finding 31.
Page 31 of 80.
Line 12.
The bottom numbers.
4915.430.
Everybody there now? Okay, Mr. Nankervis, go ahead with your reason.
Thank you. This came up at the Cal, and we discussed it then, but I'm not sure that everybody understood what the result of this is, and I'll synopsize it very crudely here, but if there is a private right-of-way built access that is private and it's dirt and it has over X number of trips a day, the city will take that over. And if we take it over, maintenance of a dirt road costs us far more than it does a paved road. And that's why I didn't like it when it was proposed in front of the Committee of the Whole, and that's why I still don't like it, and I'm proposing this amendment tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Does anybody else wish to speak to amendment number four? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I object to amendment number four. The discussion at the Committee of the Whole was about the standards inside the urban service boundary versus outside, but I don't recall there being a distinction in terms of cost to the city because these are the privately maintained access roads. And so that private maintenance outside the urban service boundary is not going to increase the city's costs. What you have the potential to do if you strike this, if I'm understanding it correctly, would be to allow the privately maintained access roads within the urban service boundary. And that's a situation that we've discussed here before, where you build on the cheap in year one, and then the rest of the taxpayers come in and subsidize in year 10 or year 15 or whatever it is. Because within our urban service boundary, as I walk neighborhoods and knock on doors campaigning, people want a safe place to walk to the bus stop or to the store or to the park or wherever that is. And so
there's a tendency to come in and ask the city to take things over and pave it, put in a sidewalk on one side, or whatever. And so this distinction, I think, really draws that line clearly and predictably if we keep it in here, if we reject the amendment, so that outside the urban service boundary, folks prefer a gravel road that they maintain, that's fine. It doesn't add to the city's costs up front, nor, I think, is it fairly reasonable to think that it's going to do it in the future. Inside the urban service boundary, I think we're shifting costs to the taxpayer a few years out. And so I think we should I encourage everyone to vote against the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Keough. Any other speak to? We have before us amendment number 4, which would take out located outside the urban service area. Do we still have objection?
I maintain the objection.
Thank you. Ms. Sika, please read the roll.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Bartoszewski?
No.
Mr. Keough?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Just one yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion failed.
Thank you. So outside, located outside your urban service area will stay by one vote. Any other questions, comments? We have before us ordinance number 2015-03C. Is there any objections? Did somebody ask for unanimous consent?
I object. I'm going to vote against.
Thank you. Ms. Crane objects. So we have an objection, and we'll read the roll.
This is on the main motion to adopt ordinance 2015-03C.
Yes, ma'am.
As amended.
As amended.
As amended, yeah.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Bartoszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keough?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, everyone. This is plus 10 years of work. We did good and we did bad because it took us 10 years of work to do this.
But who's counting?
I am.
We can still kill each
other. Okay.
We done something?
No, we're not even finished here. He asked if we were done for the night. I wish they'd stop putting staples in my book.
If you will all go to packet page number 139, and we'll have the clerk read the ordinance serial number 2015-20F.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $72,500 as a transfer to the Parks and Recreation Department, Recreation Division, in the Roaded Service Area as partial funding for the after-school program and young parents' healthy teen program, funding provided by a portion of the Social Services Advisory Board and Mayor and Assembly grants in the general fund.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. City Manager.
This appropriation would consist of a $47,500 assembly grant for the Juneau After School Coalition and a $25,000 Social Services Advisory Board grant for the Young Parents Healthy Teen Program. Parks and Recreation has been offered the opportunity to take over management of the Body and Mind After School Program and the Young Parent Healthy Teen Center. Both of these programs had been previously managed by the Catholic Community Services. The senior management team of Parks and Recreation believes that this is an excellent fit with the Zach Gordon Youth Center. Body and Mind operates in both middle schools and the Young Parent Healthy Teen Center operates out of the Zach Gordon Youth Center. Both programs will be managed by the Zach Gordon Youth Center manager and will allow for Parks and Recreation to be at the forefront of youth offerings in our community. These programs will rely heavily on partnership and collaboration so as to remain financially viable and offer the highest possible service to our community's youth. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-20F? Mr. Ritchie. Good evening, sir.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, thank you very much. Very quickly, I'm just basically introducing a video that's been presented. It's part of the fundraising campaign that we're providing for the after-school program. The funding before you tonight is the same funding you've been providing for the past 3 years, no more, no less, and we're still going to be bringing in money and doing the rest. We're very excited about the partnership with the Zach Gordon Club. We think that this is a wonderful thing for the kids in Juneau. It's going to be synergistic for both the Zach Gordon Center and for the after-school program. And that's all I have to say, but this is a first run of a video kind of explaining after-school programs. And I do want to just, if you could just take a look at that at your leisure. That shows the progress in the program over the past 3 years, and there's been some really wonderful work done under Betsy Brenneman, who is our coordinator, and we're very excited about the people who will be working with the program in the coming years with the Parks and Rec Department and the Zach Gordon Club. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ritchie. You forgot to say your name, Mr. Ritchie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kevin Ritchie. Sorry.
You've been away from
it
this
makes
too
me
long.
So nervous.
What?
Are you going to show that?
Oh. Yeah, do we get to see the video?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Allow me to assist.
Somebody qualified to it.
When the last bell rings, I say goodbye to my friends and face the rest of the day alone. Like me, most of my friends are hanging out at home alone. Our parents are at work and just aren't around.
What if we offered something better for the youth of our community?
I do after-school activities because I think that I should have like a break from school and my sister.
We live in Alaska, so it's always raining. You can't really go outside and do stuff.
I think the activities are just a really fun way to connect with people and just like make new friends.
It gets me away from home and like being attached to the TV all the time.
I just really enjoy being there and talking to people.
Adults from our community are impacting kids every day.
I get to come onto the school campus and engage with kids who are enthusiastic, who are excited to be in this program.
Just every time I walk in every week, they're just so excited to go ahead and learn something new.
And we get to have fun. I wouldn't be doing a curriculum with kids that wasn't fun and engaging.
When I participate in after-school activities, I'm more likely to graduate from high school and lead a more productive life.
After-school programs are a cost-effective and efficient way to support the youth in our community, but they are not free, and we need your help.
Because I'm worth it.
Because I'm worth it.
Because I'm worth it.
Because I'm worth it. Because I'm worth it.
Because I'm worth it.
Because I'm worth it.
Because I'm worth it.
Because we're worth it.
Because we're worth it.
Thank you, Mr. Richard. Did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-20F? Seeing none, we'll move forward for assembly action. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move Ordinance 2015-20F and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections, Mr. Jones?
Not an objection, but a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
In the manager's report and in the title, it basically says this is transferring funds to the Parks and Rec Department. Certain amount coming from assembly grants and certain amount coming from the dollars that we appropriate to the Social Services Advisory Board. And so what I wanted to just give clarification is that when we see the budget in March, the assembly grants will be $47,500 less in total because that money will now be in Parks and Rec. And the money available to the Social Services Advisory Board to grant out will be $25,000 less because that will in fact have been transferred into Parks and Rec Department, not available for competitive grants, which I don't object to, and I'm going to vote for this. I'm fully in support. I think this is a great idea. I just want to make sure that I understand that come March, when I look at the budget, I'm going to see some different figures in a couple of places because this ordinance, in effect, transfers that money to Parks and Rec and out of the assembly discretion and out of the Social Services Advisory Board application process. Is that correct?
So your understanding is correct, yes.
Okay. And so every year into the future, or are they going to have appropriated these same dollars forward to those two programs in Parks and Rec?
This will become part of your annual appropriation for Operation Parks and Recreation Department.
Okay, Mr. Jones is going to keep track of that, I'm sure.
You're darn right.
Thank you.
But I want to make sure that they stay alive. Yeah. I mean, but I just want to make sure I understood the process here because these other two ways, you know, we approved the assembly grants, and Kevin's been here before to ask for money, and they started out at $50,000, and now it's down some, and we approved the social services grant process, and we're looking at changing the way that that goes and the amount of money that's going to go to potentially to the Juneau Community Foundation. And I just want to understand that in March, we're going to have a little bit less here and there that's our discretion, and it's going to be part of Parks and Rec, which I don't object to at all, but I just wanted to make sure that I understood.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Gray.
I would like to have seen this come to the Finance Committee first, just because of those questions, but I don't have any objection to it and also plan to vote for it.
Thank you. Ms. Trove.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Having been one of the instructors in the before and after program, I just want to acknowledge Mr. Ritchie and the whole program and the benefit it attributes, you know, while he's here. So it's I'm glad we in the Assembly are going to be able to keep this good work going forward. It certainly does make a difference in the lives of these students.
Thank you, Ms. Troll. Anything else?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Nan Kervis, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to make sure I heard correctly and that historically what we have done each year is set money aside and pulled, as Mr. Jones indicated, pulled money out of these funds and made grants available. So if I understood the deputy manager correctly, now the Parks and Rec budget will just increase $72,500 each year.
If we...
Mr. Steele.
Yes, that is our intent going forward, and this transfer is for this fiscal year.
Mr. Mayor, if I can follow up, then next year we wouldn't see this. It would just happen automatically. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I object.
Thank you. Ms. Crane.
Just for information for Mr. Nankervis, we adopt the entire budget. So if you don't want this in the budget next year, you can we can do it differently. But, you know, that's still $72,500 you'll have to consider next year. But we adopt the budget, and if you object to it next year, then you can still object during the budget process.
Thank you. Mr. Nankervis, do you still withhold your objection?
Mr. Mayor, with all due respect to Ms. Crane, which one of us is going to notice that, that number's changed? Good luck with that one. No, I think I'll go that route. We'll see who remembers it. Thank you.
Okay.
I withdraw my objection.
Didn't think he'd give up the battle that easy. Okay, so objection has been withdrawn. Is there any other objections? Seeing none, Ordinance 2015-20F has passed the Assembly.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I just want to point out for the Assembly's benefit that the new manager of Zach Gordon Youth Center is with us, is Jordan Nigro, sitting behind Kevin.
All right. Welcome. Welcome aboard. You've got big shoes to fill. All right. We'll move forward with number C, or letter C, Ordinance 2015-20I. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $669,055 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Aircraft Rescue and Firefighting Truck Capital Improvement Project.
Oh boy.
Funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and Alaska Department of Transportation.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The funding that's provided is Federal Aviation Administration grant of $647,473 and Alaska Department of Transportation grant of $21,582. The FAA funds 93.75% of the project, with the remainder being split between Alaska Department of Transportation and Juneau International Airport. The Airport Board approved this action at its July 18th meeting and recommended forwarding it to the full Assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to Ordinance 2015-20I? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move forward to Assembly action. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the Assembly approve Ordinance Serial Number 2015-20I, but I have a question.
Go ahead.
I think I understand the difference between this ordinance and the next one. They have the same sources of funding, apparently the same kind of split, but one is for the project and one is for building modification design and environmental capital improvement project, which seems a little bit different. I was trying to grasp, is this the exact same building, the exact process? If we approve a grant for the project and turn down the design, you know, where would we be? Sort of why weren't these both in the same ordinance with the money split and show us how it's designed? It just was confusing the way it was presented to me to try to understand exactly what amounts to almost $1.1 million is buying, and it looks like it's all buying the same thing. But
it's buying one new big crash truck and one dry place to store it in the fire hall. And that is because the Alaska Airlines is bringing in bigger equipment, airplanes. Go ahead.
So if I look at I, it says truck capital improvement projects. That's to buy the truck.
Yes, the first one that we're
right,
on
and
right
next
now.
One says building modification design. Doesn't say implementation of that design. It just simply says design.
When we so get that, to that, you can ask that question, Mr. Jones.
Okay, well, one might preclude the other.
Ms. Patty DeLaborie, will you please come up
and we'll step out of our box of how we do things, and we'll let you explain that so Mr. Jones can have his satisfaction of mind one way or the other.
That may never happen, Mr. Mayor.
We're trying, Mr. Jones.
Okay, the first one, the mayor is correct. It is for the purchase of a 3,000-gallon fire truck, aircraft rescue firefighting truck. The second motion that will be brought up here shortly is for, it's called design, but it's actually formulation and environmental. It is a pre-process of design to modify the building, the aircraft rescue firefighting portion of the building that we have to build to modify to, one, meet code, and two, meet the new size truck.
Mr. Mayor,
yes,
so if the design and the environmental stuff doesn't pass, but we bought the truck, it's sitting out in the rain?
Not necessarily.
You're going to put it in the shed?
No. We have to have a place to put the truck eventually because we don't meet code, and we'll have a lot of trucks, and the fire department is going to make some adjustments to the current station to get that truck. We're still a year out from getting that truck, but we have to purchase it.
Takes a year to build. Anything else, Mr. Jones?
Not at this point, Mr. Mayor, no.
Any other questions? Okay, we have before us serial number 2015-20I, and this is to purchase the truck, which is expensive. Is there any objections to serial number 2015-20I? Seeing no objections, so ordered. We will move forward to the next ordinance, and that is serial number 2015-20J. Madam Sika.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $413,333 as funding for the Juneau International Airport aircraft rescue and firefighting building modification design and environmental capital improvement project, funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration and the Alaska Department of Transportation.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, admin report.
This appropriation is for designing the modification of the RF station to accommodate a new larger truck and satisfying environmental requirements. Funding is as follows. Federal Aviation Administration grant of $400,000 and Alaska Department of Transportation $13,333. The FAA funds 93.75% of the project, with the remainder being split between Alaska Department of Transportation and Juneau International Airport. The Airport Board approved this action at its July 18th meeting and recommended forwarding it to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Manager, I just have a quick question here. The total on the backside, when you read the economic impact statement, there's going to be another $13,334 from CBJ sales tax fund to make up the other 3%. If that isn't written on the front, is that a problem with the ordinance? We've only got the FAA portion of $13,000, not the CBJ's portion.
That is a defect, right? Because it's total EIN.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Was that previously appropriated, Patty?
Yeah, it was previously appropriated through the resolution. Because I asked about this.
Speaking point.
They, according to Comptroller's Office, they said that this was previously appropriated through the resolution, and it did not have to be appropriated again for the local match of sales tax dollars.
Okay. So, I mean, that's the same thing that happened on the other one, too, because
correct.
There was a CBJ match also there,
right.
At 3%. Okay.
Right.
Just so we're not missing $13,000 here. Okay, so we have before us 2015-20J. Does anybody from the public wish to comment on this? Seeing no comments, I'll close public comment and move to assembly action. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move that the Assembly approve Ordinance 2015-20J, and I have a question.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Thank you. What is the estimated next appropriation once you have designed it, done all your environmental stuff for the actual construction, and how will that come to us and be funded?
Through the mayor. That's what this first step will determine. There will be a formal design process, and actually with our current one, we'd be under bid with, we've already gone out for bid with JYL, Jensen Herbal Lot, winning this. And so it'll determine how much the design, in order to meet code and to meet the new truck, that would have to be done, as well as how much the building would cost. We have programmed into 2016 roughly $1.8 million for that.
So you have some idea, you just don't know whether it's going to be higher or lower.
Correct. We have a rough order of magnitude.
So we can expect another request, and then how will that be split? Is that a 93%, 3%, 3%?
Correct. It'll be 93.75%, barring any changes with the FAA's funding. And then the state, again, and local are always split, but again, that could be subject to change depending on state funding as well.
Any other questions? You didn't have an objection, Mr. Jones?
No, I just wanted to ask a question.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Jones. Has before us 2015-20J. Is there any objection to the adoption of this ordinance? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move forward to item E on the agenda, which is Ordinance 2015-20K, small b, Ms. Sika.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $868,025 as funding for the Juneau International Airport runway safety area, Phase 2B design, northeast, northwest apron, and continued perimeter fencing capital improvement project. Funding provided by the Federal Aviation Administration, Alaska Department of Transportation, and Juneau International Airport's fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
Funding is provided as follows. FAA grant, $813,773. Alaska Department of Transportation, $27,126. Juneau International Airport fund balance, $27,126. The FAA 2015 reauthorization bill allows federal financial participation on this project at 93.75%, the remainder being split between the Department of Transportation and Juneau International Airport. The Airport Board approved this action at its July 18th meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you. Mr. Manager, if I could just ask a title question. We have on the agenda title 2015-20KB, and on the ordinance that we have before us, it just says K and no B. Is that going to be a problem?
Mr. Mayor, you keep turning the page. You finally get to B.
Oh,
and while they say it's not substantive, it does increase money being spent from the airport fund balance and decreases what the feds are going to pay. I would not consider that to be unsubstantial. It's a small amount of money, but still.
Thank you, everybody. I didn't look forward enough. Okay, so Mr. Jones, you have a question then?
I just pointed that out since I guess we still have to go to public hearing before we get to questions.
Okay. Ms. Patty, elaborate.
Okay. Thank you. When you got the last one that was at introduction, it was at a 95%, which under the House rule that went through for the 2015 reauthorization bill, would allow a projects such as the runway safety area, which is this is a third part of that runway safety area project, that could be continuously funded under 2011 funds at the 95%. But when the FAA went back in and looked at this, they said it was too far out from that, and it had to go back to what they currently fund at 93.75%. So we had to adjust it down for the grant.
follow up then, I guess.
Yes, Mr. Jones.
And so I can understand how you can make the decision to use more of your fund balance. I'm curious that the Department of Transportation, given their budget issues, also accepted the fact that they will pay more. Has that been cleared to DOT?
Thank you. This was originally put into last year's budget at the 93.75%, making the state match 3.125. We went forward with the 95% federal when we were advised of the House rule that went through back in, I think, the end of June, first part of July. So we put the grant through, but it was denied right away. So they had it in their budget at the original higher amount. And as far as for our local, while we're forward funding it through our airport fund, we will apply for another future PFC fund, PFC number 9, that will pay it back.
PFC.
Ms. Kladachowski?
Just what's PFC?
Passenger facility charge. Sorry.
Anything else? Okay.
Public comment.
Pardon?
Public comment.
I didn't do public comment yet? Thank you.
And we haven't moved the ordinance yet.
Okay. I'll ask for public comment at this time. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on Ordinance 2015-20KB. Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I move adoption of Ordinance 2015-20KB and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Mr. Nankervis, are you still with us?
Okay. Thank you.
I just checked and make it.
Wake
Thank
up.
You.
Got the mute on.
Okay. We'll move forward to unfinished business, and we move the Bicknell versus Planning Commission to executive session. So we're on to new business, and we will hear the new public conveyance liquor license. Madam Clerk.
This is for a new public convenience liquor license number 5415, Canton Asian Bistro, LLC DBA Canton Asian Bistro.
Thank you. Administrative report.
I recommend the Assembly proceed according to the recommendations of the Assembly Human Resources Committee.
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We did consider that during the HRC meeting prior to the Assembly meeting tonight, and the motion we bring forward is that the City and Borough of Juneau Assembly waives its right to protest this new liquor license.
Is there any objections to that motion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wasn't part of the HRC, so I had a question if possible. Is that okay?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Jones, was this the old Canton House liquor license that was sold? This isn't a new liquor license in town. It's just a sale. Is that correct?
Mr. Nankervis, this is a new license. As was explained to us, we had protested the previous license. The ABC board accepted that protest, and so that license went away. So this is a new license. This is not a purchase license from the old holder.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, and Mr. Jones. It's not an additional one, because the reason I was asking that is I thought we had reached our maximum number in town. And
no, it's not a it's a new one, but it's not an additional one because one was taken away.
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Jones, thank you both. I don't have any objections. I just wanted some clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Kladachowski.
I just wanted to clarify. It's a different type of license. It's a non-sellable license. So.
It's
a public convenience license, so it's not in the same category, and it has no value. They can't sell it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any objections to Mr. Jones's motion? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move forward to item B, Senior Citizen Disabled Veteran Exemption. Ms. Sika? Oh, I guess I read most of it already.
This is for the Nichols family.
Staff report.
The family applied late for the senior citizen disabled veteran property exemption on July 23rd this year. And the city borough code places the authority for approving late claims with the assembly. The applicant states that the application was filed late due to misunderstanding the application process when they purchased their new home, which is further complicated because they benefited from the senior citizen exemption the previous homeowners received in 2014. The assessed values for the property in question are a decrease in revenue to the CBJ of $1,614. The assessor's office has received the application to determine that the applicant would have been qualified for this exemption had it been filed timely.
Thank you. Ms. Crane.
I move the assembly accept the exemption for a late file determination for the Nichols family.
Is there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Okay, we have before us some staff reports.
Yes, we have one staff report from Rory Watt, who will speak to you about Gastineau Apartments.
Thank you, Mr. Watt.
Mr. Mayor, you've asked us to pursue preparation of a bid package for the demolition of the Gastineau Apartments buildings, and we're doing that, and we think that we'll be ready to advertise for bids around September 9th, bids opening around September 30th. We'll likely need an assembly action to award that bid, so we may be looking to schedule a special meeting to do that.
Did you say when on that one?
Around September 30th. As we get into the details of preparation of a bid package, you know, like all things, it gets a little more complicated on inspection. We found the basement full of water, fuel floating on the water. Trying to figure out how to deal with that is a little complicated, and when and how to do that. And there are a number of important community issues that arise as well. We're hoping to schedule a project review at the Planning Commission later in September that will solicit public comment about such things as road closures and traffic limitations. So in trying to develop a way to allow that building to come down safely, efficiently, and economically, I think we're going to need to get comment from the public. Can they live with the closures that we think we need? And that's probably the best way to vet that process. A second community issue that I think is fairly important is the long-term disposition of Gonacadeat Park. So we've always envisioned that the park would be integral to anybody doing demolition work on the building. But the more we've looked at it, we wonder how much of the park to preserve. So quite frankly, if a contractor has to dance around the park and preserve it, the demolition will go slower and be more expensive. We'll be looking at talking about the future of the park at the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee, I think on the 9th of September, either the 8th or the 9th. And again, I think we need to look at that. The park itself, I think it's no secret, is not a particularly successful park. And I think there is a persuasive argument that appears to be lining up that demolition of the park effectively might be the best path forward, might allow the fastest demolition of the buildings, the most economical demolition of the buildings, And in any scenario, I think we need the park for the safe demolition of the buildings. In terms of future redevelopment of the site, the park property itself probably poses a lot of options for better redevelopment, whoever does that, not least of which could be staging and could provide for a significantly expanded site. So these things are all fairly complicated, and what we're going to try and do is get that package out to bid. We're going to make assumptions on where we think the public process is going to lead us. I will say that Parks and Rec staff is not particularly attached to preserving the park as it exists today. It may be property that can end up sometime in the future on the tax rolls as a better utilized parcel, but I think we need some process in that. So I think you're going to start to see things happening fairly quickly. Bid advertisement, Parks and Rec committee talking about the long-term use of the park, Planning Commission talking about the whole project and traffic closures and how much we can stomach. And then bid award or bid opening at the end of September, and then a special meeting for bid award. We don't have a regularly scheduled assembly meeting until late in October. So you haven't heard from us, but we're working on it and we're worrying the details, and there are lots of them. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Mr. Watt, if I could, what is the story on the private side of the house looking at purchasing? Do we have any update on that for us?
I have not been contacted, but Ms. Mead or Mr. Seidel may have information.
The last information that we had was that they were talking to the Barretts about entering into a letter of intent to sell. And that's as far as it had gotten.
Has anybody met with those private people
Yeah.
in the last week?
No, there has not been any word from them in over 2 weeks, almost three. And they haven't gotten any farther in the sale negotiation with the Barretts.
Okay. Questions? Mr. Jones?
We as the assembly had initially talked about a November start to bring the building down. I know that the architects that you hired to help do all this were talking more the spring. I guess both planning to get it done, staging. Is that still on track for, you know, March, April, so it's sort of done before the first cruise ship shows up in May sometime? Or are we shooting for January, February when you talk about street closures? That's, I guess, I will let it go at that one question, but I do have another one.
Current thinking is demolition to be complete by December 31st.
Yay.
That's much better news than I expected.
Mr. Jones?
The second question, I guess, was, and that maybe that explains why a special assembly, because if the bids come in September 30 and you have more than one bid, there is a period of time for appeal. And I don't know, is that 10 days? If you put out a notice to award, it's 10 days for those who didn't get it to appeal. So, you know, that means you want to try to schedule an assembly meeting 11 days after you award and not wait another week or so till a regularly scheduled meeting. I mean, is that week or two, not that I object, important? And if it was April, it's probably less important. If you're going to try to have it down by the end of December, then I can understand why it might be more important.
So that would be the protest period. And since it's all local funds, that we don't have any anything different than the ordinary city code. And so if somebody's going to protest, they've got to file that protest within, I think, 24 hours of the bid opening.
24 hours.
And or an intent to protest, so we'll know in short order. For this bid, we've talked about quite a bit how to structure it, and What we're going to require is a essentially two envelope process, qualifications and then price. And the qualifications, we're going to require that there be a demolition engineer as part of their team who has experience bringing down structures like this. Some of you who have been around longer might remember when we did the site work for the parking garage, when we had the blasting, we had a two-envelope process. We said you must have people on your team that have experience and qualifications in preparing demolition plans. And we're going to look at that first. If we accept that you're bringing forward a team that has that expertise, and that can be a subcontractor, sub-consultant, then we'll open up the price part of the equation. So we're going to require, we're not going to put in the bid package a specific method for demolishing. We're going to put in the requirement for the submission of an engineering demolition plan. There are sequential things that have to happen to preserve slope stability as those buildings come down. So there are going to be some requirements, but it'll be a little bit different than our normal bid award process, but not something that we haven't done semi-regularly in the past.
Mr. Jones?
Thank you. Sort of my last question then, or maybe a comment to add to your issues to be dealt with and getting opinions from the public and the Planning Commission. I know the Downtown Business Association is always concerned about holiday shopping season. If we're looking at the end of December and we got Gallery Walk to first part of December, issues with access to the parking garage for parking for people to come downtown to shop if you're going to be closing streets and making it harder for people to navigate. Some kind of idea of a little bit more extended free parking kind of thing, because if you're going to be closing the street and having that major disruption in the middle of the holiday shopping season, I know the Downtown Business Association would like to get some real help from the city to manage the parking and better access to the shopping area of downtown. So I just would comment that to add to your list of things to try to get some public opinion about, so maybe you can work on some policies that either we need to address or the manager can address. I'll leave it at that.
Any other questions for Mr. Watt? All right. Thank you for the update, Mr. Watt.
Thank you.
Keep moving forward. Do you want to take a five-minute break? I wanted
please.
To try to
yes.
get through
yes. Yes.
this before we've got the executive session, but I don't think we're going to. So if we can take a 5 to 10-minute break right now and then come back, we'll finish up with our business, and then we will go into executive session.
Oh, I can't meet this morning.
Brewfest is coming. KXLL is proud to sponsor the Rotary Club of Juneau for the 4th annual Capital Brewfest, September 26th at the Jack from 1 to 5 p.m. This year there are even more participating brewers, and as always, there will be great local music and food. All proceeds benefit humanitarian works of Juneau Rotary and United Way of Southeast Alaska. Come enjoy craft brew for a cause. Tickets are limited and available now at capbrewfest.com.
Three Men and a Baby Grand. Juno Jazz and Classics kicks off its 30th season Labor Day weekend with popular cellist Zool Bailey, Australian violinist Ben Breen, and pianist Awadajan Pratt, performing masterworks by Bach, Brahms, and Paganini. Three terrific musicians and a marvelous program showcasing their individual and combined artistry. Sunday, September 6th, 7 p.m. at the Jack. Tickets available at the Jack, Hearthside Books, and jazzandclassics.org.
The Juneau Central Labor Council and Juneau Building Trades cordially invite all union members and their families to the annual Labor Day picnic at Sandy Beach. It's on Monday, September 7th, from 11 to 2. Come and enjoy live music, games for the kids, and a delicious barbecue. Celebrate Labor Day with your coworkers and other working people on September 7th. Sponsored by your union and the Juneau Central Labor Council, strong voices for better working conditions and fighting for jobs with benefits.
And you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. The time is 9:02. We have been listening to the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They are currently on a short break. Tonight, numerous rain showers, lows around 45. Tomorrow, decreasing clouds, highs around 56. Wednesday, partly cloudy, highs around 60.
Rosa, la bella, vivo, sin ella, Rosa. little Santana. Get back, get back, yeah.
Call the meeting back to order, and I just want to make sure that everybody understands what we're doing and where we're going. We made a mistake earlier on, and we had the Bicknell decision up above and under unfinished business or wherever it was. That was a problem with losing our city manager and not having all our ducks in a row for our agenda. I apologize for that, but we have got to hear that part of the decision in executive session and make up our mind which way to go. So if you're waiting for that, you're more than welcome to stay. We're going to clear the room and be in executive session for on this one. I don't know how long, half hour, I would say at least. But that's a guess. If you want to stay, you can take a chair with you and go out into the vestibule and wait. And then when we come back, after our executive session, we will come out of executive session and come back into session because we can't make any decisions in executive session. We will just discuss and debate the situation. And then we will say what we did in executive session real briefly and move forward from there. There will be no public comment or no public testimony on this tonight. For the Bicknell situation at all. Okay? Carla.
You do plan to ask tonight, though.
I'm sorry.
You do plan to come back into session and ask?
We have to.
Okay.
So we are coming back in to regular session, and then that's when we will say what we did, and then we will hopefully adjourn then and get out of here, too. So yeah, that's the process. I'm sorry for any of your inconvenience. I wish we would have had it agended properly or in the right order. We didn't. Our mistake. We're just trying to move forward with it now. Yes, sir.
Just clarifying this, Mayor, you have to ask in public. You can't ask in executive session.
That's exactly right.
So you will either vote one way or the other in the public session?
Yes. Yeah, if we have to vote on something, we will vote on something in regular session. Okay, everybody got that, where we're at? Okay, now we have to move through and finish our regular assembly meeting here, so that's going to be a little bit longer here. So did we have any other staff reports?
No.
Thank you.
move forward to assembly reports, and I'll forego my mayor's report. I can just tell you that things are busy. Your staff is very busy, and it is swamped, and without having the city manager position filled, I guarantee you it puts more of a workload on them in different areas. And make sure you just say thank you to them every once in a while, because they are carrying the extra load for us. Okay, committee reports. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our last committee of the whole meeting on August 24th, we discussed the property tax exemptions that the legislature has made possible for us to make decisions concerning. Optional property tax, either tax exemption or deferral for deteriorated property. And we discussed the Juneau Coordinated Human Service Transportation Plan. And we received a verbal report about biosolids. All of those are moved to the assembly for action when they come on the agenda. And the utility board will bring a recommendation to the assembly on September 28 about biosolids. The city manager search committee met on August 24th. And I hope that all of you received the four pages. I think there were four pages concerning our work. We decide on the locations for advertising throughout the state, and we will send that advertising out tomorrow if there are no concerns about it. If you have any concerns when I'm finished my report, let me know that you do. We decided on the minimum salary to advertise. We decided on the minimum qualifications to advertise. The advertisement period will be September 1 to October 2. We will meet, the search committee will meet on September 4 and September 25. The September 11 is canceled because of Southeast Conference travel. And that, according to Ms. Cosgrove, that should be enough time for us to do the types of things we have to do. So, is there any concern about us doing our advertisement starting tomorrow? Okay, then that's how it will be. So thank you very much. And while I'm at it, thank you, staff, for your work.
All right, Mr. Jesse Keel. And remember, you're all invited to attend the hiring committee's meetings. I know you don't go to enough meetings. Just my staff isn't overworked right now, but you're more than welcome to come to them. It's us who are going to hire the city manager, and it's our most important job that we do, I think. So it's my own opinion. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize. I missed the manager hire meeting. I had a previous commitment for that time. The Lands Committee, Lands and Resources Committee, met August 24th. We recommended forwarding to the Assembly for approval the Docks and Harbors. It's called the Cultural Preservation Lease, but it's a lease with Gold Belt Corporation, where the Seadrome building currently sits. There is a negotiated and agreed to update to that lease. With, I guess it's fair to say, a more frequent review and a clearer set of rules about who will do that review, and then an updated lease payment to the city. So that will come before us at a future assembly meeting for approval. We did recommend adoption. We also saw the first draft on a revision of the CBJ land management plan. And that goes through the city's land holdings with a special attention to those lands that would be more suitable for, let's say, near to midterm development or disposal. And the Lands Committee had a number of questions for staff. Staff will have some public workshops on that lands management plan. And in fact, at our finance committee the other night, we got our first public comment from an assembly member, which I have passed along to staff. So we'll encourage the public to weigh in with the city about the lands that are under CBJ's title, what should be held status quo, what should be developed, disposed of, et cetera. The Marijuana Policy Committee met Thursday night, the 27th. Heard updates from the Treasury Department on the, I guess, issues surrounding both a marijuana business license and staff's sense that that was a workable thing for us to implement, as well as thoughts from both Treasury and sales tax on handling remittance of tax payments from businesses that have to operate in all cash because Uncle Sam says no bank accounts. And staff, to oversimplify their reports to us, thought those were manageable concerns and did not have recommendations for significant additional rules or requirements for those businesses. We also saw from the Community Development Department new zoning maps with the recommendations that the Planning Commission is chewing on now that reflect the 500-foot buffers around schools and child center facilities that the State Marijuana Control Board is discussing. It was the committee's recommendation that we look at 200-foot buffers. Marijuana Control Board appears to be considering 500-foot buffers, and so those maps, I actually have a stack of them right here. They're also on the Marijuana Committee's website if anyone wants to take a look at them and weigh in. Finally, at the Marijuana Policy Committee meeting, we looked through and had some discussion of Set 3 of the proposed State of Alaska regulations. And I would draw members' attention to the red foldered proposed letter of comment to the Marijuana Control Board on four topics on behalf of the city. And the Marijuana Policy Committee recommends that the Assembly submit those comments to the State Marijuana Control Board.
Mr. Keel, could you just outline the 1, 2, 3, 4 for us?
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor, especially if I can find where I put my copy. Oh, thank you. My neighbors are too kind to me. Mr. Mayor, the first point actually reflects back to what our sales tax office talked with us about, the difficulty in auditing all cash businesses. With most businesses, you can go to their bank accounts, and the debits and credits are pretty hard to hide. With all cash businesses, that's not necessarily available, but our staff believe that combination of their business records and their inventory tracking records would give them adequate tools when it's time to do an audit. The proposed draft regulations actually doesn't require marijuana business licensees to give municipal officials, other than police officers doing their police duties, that access. So we're asking for access to municipal officials in their official capacity to the marijuana inventory tracking system. Point two would be about that sort of nightmare scenario of a bad actor, an irresponsible business operating illegally. The state's proposed regulations let the city notify the state board if a marijuana business is breaking state law, and ask that there be a licensing action against them, but it doesn't actually give us the right to notify them that their business is breaking city law. And so we would ask them to include city law in the things we can notify them for a licensing action. Point three is something that we commented on a little bit in the last set, but is more explicit in this set. The proposed regulations from the state explicitly and pretty clearly outlaw any form of marijuana club or place for consumption of marijuana other than basically a private residence. And so this point three would ask that the State Marijuana Control Board remain silent on the question of clubs, leaving that question to municipalities to make the decision. Point four, then, the last one, is about the proposed testing requirements. There is some concern that the proposed testing requirements in the regulations out for comment right now would require a significant investment in equipment, staff training, secure facilities. It appears that those facilities, testing facilities, would not be mobile. You have to have them locked down. You can't transfer a license. You have to identify your license premises. And so there's a significant question as to whether small communities, potentially including ours, but certainly our neighbors, could in fact have a legal marijuana industry. And so point four simply asks, without specifics, because no one on the committee is an expert in laboratory and testing equipment and rules, asks that the board avoid overly stringent testing requirements that would keep communities off the asphalt road system from having a legal industry.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Do you want to move this letter? And
thank you, Mr. Mayor. On behalf of the Marijuana Policy Committee, I move that the Assembly direct the manager to send this letter of comment to the Marijuana Control Board.
Is there objection? Ms. Becker, mm-hmm. You want to speak to your objection?
I would appreciate it if the chair would separate each of these questions, as I have different votes for some of them than the others, and I would have to vote no if you put it all together for all of them if I didn't have a choice.
Mr. Keel.
I have no objection to dividing the question. That's you want me to move them separately? You want to rule that they're divisible and just do them separately? Mr. Mayor, I withdraw my motion. I have a new motion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will take this point by point down the floor, if I may. My first motion is that we direct the city manager to submit comment number one on the draft letter, which is asking the State Marijuana Control Board to grant municipal officials performing their official duties access to the marijuana inventory tracking system.
Thank you. Is there any objection?
I object.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Is there anybody wish to speak to their objection?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I want to go back. I don't have that paper in front of me, so I'm just going by what Mr. Keel read. But I don't think that we should give our city staff more powers than we give the police department. Thank you.
In response, Mr. Mayor, so the proposed regulation currently would allow a peace officer performing official duties to look at the marijuana inventory tracking system, and we're simply asking that other city employees, in the performance of their official duties, that's the surrounding language in that proposed reg, have that same ability, not more, simply the same access.
Any other follow-up, Mr. Nankervis?
No, I guess I misunderstood when you said it the first time then. I'll withdraw my objection. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other objections? Seeing none, number one is approved to move forward. Number two, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly direct the city manager to submit the comment contained in paragraph two to the Marijuana Control Board, that being the letting the city notify the board that a licensee violates municipal law as well as state laws.
Thank you. Is there any objections to item number two? Seeing and hearing none, so ordered. Number three, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly direct the manager to submit a comment in paragraph three to the State Board, that being leaving the question of clubs to local control.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Is there any objections to number three?
I object.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Do you wish to speak to that?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've spoken to it twice, so. But I'll just say again, I think that we would not, as a marijuana board or an assembly, request this type of ability, ask the state board to give us this right, if we did not think we would put marijuana clubs in. And that frightens me. I am opposed to that. I do not want to see any kind of smoking clubs go in. I think it will lead to the destruction of our Clean Indoor Act. Clean Indoor Air Act, and we will just progress right back to having this town be a smoking town again, and that is not something that I would ever want to see happen, and therefore I object to this statement. I think it's a good rule that the marijuana board put together not to allow it.
Thank you. Madam Becker, is there anybody else who wishes, Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And just to speak for myself, not for the committee for a moment, I agree with Ms. Becker. I don't want to see our clean indoor air ordinance weakened. And so for me, if we can get this change made, I would be interested in looking at permitting marijuana clubs where edibles would be permitted, where tinctures, so drinks with THC, might be permitted, and possibly allowing marijuana clubs where marijuana is smoked or vaporized outdoors, as is currently permitted for tobacco clubs under our existing clean air ordinance. I think there are possibilities. There are ways this can be done without weakening our clean indoor air ordinance. And I share Ms. Becker's concern that we not open the door to cigarette smoke all over the place or tobacco smoke indoors, or marijuana smoke indoors. And so that's my my personal take on that.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Green.
I would just say, too, that we're talking about all municipalities here. And generally, we want the decision-making left at the local level. We may or may not want to do this in Juneau, but that does not mean that other communities might have a different take on it. So I support this just because we need to be emphasizing local control.
Thank you, Madam Crane. Anybody else? We still have objection to number three?
Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Sika, roll call.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Bladyshevsky?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Number four, Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly direct the manager to submit the comments contained in paragraph four, that being asking the board to be cognizant of the economics of testing facilities for communities that can't drive to a lab.
Thank you. Is there any objections to number four? Ms. Becker?
I have a question. I guess I would like to know what is meant by overly stringent testing requirements. I do not know if the state board thought about a testing facility and process that provides health and safety versus provides deletion of a marijuana business. And I think we agreed at the marijuana committee that health and safety were very important to us, and I wish there were some way that we could say, I mean, I don't necessarily want it to be so overly stringent that it just cancels any kind of testing, because I want if marijuana is going to be grown, I want it tested. I want it to be safe. And so, but it seems like this might be making it, I don't know what those words mean and how it will end up being interpreted by the control board. So if there was some way to say, I don't know.
Mr. Keel.
Something different, Mr. Keel. But maybe there isn't, so.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, just in response to Ms. Becker, I generally am a fan of very specific comments. The others all cite precise subsections, and this does not. I have had conversations, one with a current laboratory owner, one with somebody who works in and has worked in private sector labs, as well as one public sector lab for many years. It is their opinion that the draft regulations as currently put in place are somewhere in the neighborhood of $400,000 and up to set up initially. And as I read the regulations, you cannot create a mobile laboratory, which is something that the Marijuana Control Board's executive director has talked about wanting to make that possible so that a laboratory can come to a community if you don't have a big enough customer base to amortize a $400,000 and up investment as a business. But I don't have the expertise to know precisely which testing requirements are the minimum necessary for to protect the public. I certainly know that we don't do all the tests that they're considering requiring for spinach or basil grown in the city and borough of Juneau, other than THC, of course. It is a concern. It's a large concern for our neighboring communities. It is a concern for our community as well. The one laboratory owner I spoke with was not at all certain that there was going to be the business interest here to have a lab of this scope and this scale. So this comment is written to ask the board to keep the needs of communities outside the rail belt in mind, but I didn't feel that we had the expertise to specifically say you should continue the requirement to test for X and drop the requirement to test for Y.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Ms. Kwiatkowski?
I could offer some extra language that might help here. As you consider enacting testing requirements that sufficiently ensure health and safety, comma, et cetera.
I think that would, it would certainly get at the point that this is trying to make is to not make it too stringent, but it would take care of what basically is some serious concerns we have.
So we had,
Mr. Mayor?
Just a minute, please. So we would add that at the bottom, Ms. Kwiatkowski?
No, I would say that the sentence would state, as you consider enacting testing requirements that sufficiently ensure health and safety, comma, the CBJ, et cetera, continues on.
Ms. Sika, do you have that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The CBJ, et cetera, but I have nothing in front of me.
Okay. So the sentence then would read, as you consider enacting testing requirements that sufficiently ensure health and safety, the CBJ asks that you keep in mind the needs of communities outside the rail belt, especially those not accessible by land-based traffic.
Thank you.
Okay. The SECA has that. And everybody gets that. So this amendment is put into question four. Is there still an objection to question four?
No. Not for me.
Oh, any other objections to question four? Hearing none, so ordered. Okay, so Mr. Keel, do you want to finish your report?
That is it for committee reports. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We will move on to Ms. Crane.
At our last Finance Committee meeting, we discussed payment of overdue property taxes and came up with a procedure to deal with taxes that were due in FY 13 and 14. I have found since that the legal department has some concern with the procedure we came up with, and we're going to have to do it slightly differently. But the assembly is determined to make sure that overdue property taxes are paid, and if not, we'll proceed with the taking of deeds.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. So we'll hear that back in finance eventually.
I guess.
Yeah.
And our next finance committee meeting is October the 21st.
Thank you. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Public Works and Facilities Committee did not meet last week. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee met prior to the assembly meeting tonight. We had a lot of issues on our plate. We heard we read the annual report from the Americans with Disabilities Act Committee. There was nobody here representing them, but we asked a couple of questions to be passed on via the clerk's office about the report. But we also had appointments, and so the Human Resources Committee would make a motion that we reappoint Cheryl Putman to a term expiring 8/31/2018 and appoint a new member, Charlene Steinman, to a term expiring 8/31/2018.
Is there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered.
We also looked at the Local Emergency Planning Committee nomination, and this is the fire department representative, and the recommendation from the chief is, and now from the Human Resources Committee, that we recommend to the state, which makes the final approval, the appointment of Ed Quinto to a term expiring 12/31/2016.
Thank you. Are there any objections to that appointment? Seeing none, so ordered.
We also considered the appointment fills out the full complement of the Sister City Committee to appoint Larry Snyder to a term expiring 1/1/2017. Are there any objections to that appointment? Seeing none, so ordered. We also considered applications on the Utilities Advisory Board. We had one vacancy for a term expiring 5/31/2018. Human Resources Committee recommends that we appoint William Brown to that term expiring 5/31/2018. Are there any objections to that appointment? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. We also had the annual report and appointments to the Youth Activities Board. Joyce Thick spoke about their activities, answered questions about their annual report. And then the committee had three appointments to make, two persons, adult persons to term, and one youth appointment. So the committee is recommending that Elizabeth Lang be appointed to a term expiring 8/31/2018, that Liz Brooks be appointed to a term expiring 8/31/2016. Are there any objections to those two appointments? Seeing none, hearing none, so ordered. And I saved the youth one to the end because we actually had five applicants. One young woman came to watch the process, so we asked her to speak. She spoke very eloquently for a sophomore at Thunder Mountain High School. And so the committee is recommending that Kathy Tran be appointed to the Youth Activities Board for a term expiring 8/31/2018. Is there any objections to that appointment? Was she one of our fill-in mayors? I don't believe so, but she might be in the future. I think she's going to get involved in the government out there, and Mara Early is her teacher who teaches the government class out there, so I suspect what I heard tonight, we will see her a little bit more often.
You and I might not, Mr. Jones, but
we'll still be sitting in the back then in the audience like we used to, right?
There you go. Yeah.
We can hang out and say all those idiots up there. And then we dealt with the restaurant and eating place liquor license tonight. Also under staff reports, we got a report from the school district that they are appointing Christine Bartlett to the Jensen Olson Arboretum Advisory Board, and that is an appointment that the superintendent makes. I believe it's the superintendent or his appointee. And then we also had a brief discussion about empowered boards and the Planning Commission getting city borough email accounts to make sure that we were documenting any of the communications. We don't have to find it if it's searched. A little bit different feeling. I sat through the presentation of the Planning Commission. There were some concerns. I know Ms. Crane said the hospital board seemed a little bit surprised and had a lot more concerns given their HIPAA requirements than a few others. And I think that's in process and, you know, more to come later, but some boards are more enthusiastic. The airport board apparently asks about it every month at their meeting since they got the board training in February. When are we going to get our emails? And some of the other boards are going, yeah. So we had some discussion about that. And basically, that's my report for the Human Resources Committee.
All right.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Very good. So let's start back with you, Mr. Jones, and do liaison reports.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I got to find my notes here.
Okay.
Downtown Business Association met Thursday last week. Had previously forwarded them the two issues from the state regarding property tax exemptions or deferrals based on deteriorating property, because we had asked that they weigh in. The result of that discussion is basically, I think they were going to put together a subcommittee to take a look at that and would be getting back to the city manager's office on their concerns. They shared some of the same concerns that we did about basically allowing property owners let their property deteriorate to take advantage. There was just those concerns. They also talked about parking. I already mentioned to Mr. Watt the issues about parking over the holidays, but there's still issues about downtown parking and access to businesses and those kinds of things. Mr. Keel was there to talk to them about the marijuana committee and what issues or concerns the Downtown Business Association may have about businesses that may be moving into their particular area. So there was some of that discussion. The Planning Commission met, I believe, last Tuesday. There wasn't any big issues in my mind. I know Ms. White was stressed out, but she got through the process. The JEDC, Juneau Economic Development Council, did not meet in August. Their next meeting is September 2nd. And I know that on the agenda is the discussion, and Ms. Stroll and I will both be there, discussion of how they move forward in dealing with the issues that we sort of lumped onto them at the committee of the whole related to the economic development plan and those objectives. I know that that is on the agenda for them, as well as I think there's going to be a discussion of how they can learn and what kind of position they may or may not take related to some of the state budget issues and the process the governor's asked the public to weigh in on. And so I think that Bruce Patello may be there because he was at the Fairbanks meeting and he's tried to pull together a group of those people that went to Fairbanks in local and include sort of an idea of, to learn that process so that the board can decide if they want to participate or not in that. I did also attend the Aquatics Facilities board meeting, and they are getting their committees together. Their committees are starting to be active. I think the Operations and Finance Committee are much more active than the Marketing and Board Development Committees, as appropriate, I think, at this point. Because once they make a decision on some things, then the Marketing Committee's got to get out there and market it. But they are looking at particular issues, not only on the expense side, but trying to come up with a policy of how they might set charges. I think right now, depending on what pool you go to and what you want to do, there's 17 or 18 different rates that people pay, you know, shower only, this, that. And they're trying to get that a little bit more simplified and unified, and so they started that discussion. Their next full board, the Finance Committee is meeting September 8th. The full board next meeting is the 15th of September at 5 p.m., and I will be in Anchorage, headed out to the airport after a long days of meetings. So if anybody wants to attend and see what they're doing, I really think that they are engaged in what they're doing. They really do want to do a good job, and so if anybody has the time on the 15th to sort of check out the Aquatics Facility Committee, it is the 15th. And then the Downtown Improvement Group did a tobacco thing that was interesting to some. but I know they also are going to start looking at if they have any input they want to make or how to formulate input that they may want to make to the Marijuana Committee. And I think they're looking at having some kind of a forum on the September 4th and the 25th. So I know the Downtown Improvement Group is looking at that, but they also have some issues around parking and other things that are going on. And then just as it was pointed out during the public testimony, I am a member of the State Marijuana Control Board. I'm still dealing with the issues of whether or not my actions tonight will exclude me from discussing any of those when those come up before the Marijuana Control Board or not. But just for your information, we will be meeting September 14th in Kotzebue and September 16th in Anchorage. We will be meeting in Anchorage the 23rd, 24th of September. We will be meeting in Anchorage on the 15th and 16th of October, in which we're going to take at least one full day, if not a day and a half, of oral public testimony instead of written public testimony. And since AFN is meeting that week, we should have an interesting representation from the Native community, we hope. And then on the 20th of November, we'll be meeting in Anchorage, and we hope at that meeting this full set will be adopted. But I will tell you that it is our desire that at the end of the meeting on the 24th of September, that where we've done set one, set two, and set three is out, we will put all articles 1 through 9 back out for a second round of public comment, because we've been working through each one page by page. I spent today from 9 o'clock till 4:30, and we went through line by line 37 pages of regulations. And I'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and I might get some sleep tonight, but I don't know. So I just wanted you to have a feel for where we're going and the number of meetings that we'll be dealing with in the next couple of months.
We're kind of waiting on the state on that, Mr. Jones.
I understand, and I won't comment any farther on where we're at or where we're not at.
Okay, Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board hasn't met since last we talked. The Docks and Harbor Board meeting occurred Thursday, August 27th. Some of their topics included the update on the Douglas Harbor design review and budget. They also brought forward that they have had three bids submitted for leasing the property at the Thane Ore House. I do not know who those three prospective bidders are or what they are, but they have three people expressing interest in that facility. And I also wanted to mention that the Pacific Coast Conference of Harbor Masters and Port Managers is coming to Juneau, September 15th to 18th. It'll be at Centennial Hall, and this is normally held down in Oregon or Washington, and it's a pretty big deal for those folks that are into managing a harbor. And it's pretty good coup that we got that and bringing that to Juneau. I'm not sure how many people will show up for that, but they did arrange one of our representatives to come down and meet and greet for the opening ceremony on that. And their next meeting is scheduled for 4th.
Okay. Is that all, Mr. Nankervis?
Yeah, trying to keep it short. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Ms. Troll.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I always think I go to a lot of meetings and then I listen to Mr. Jones' report. And I feel like a lightweight, but I'm not in my own way. I did have a meeting with the work group, one of the work groups of the Tongass Advisory Committee. I'm pleased to report that the Forest Service has chosen the Tongass Advisory Committee's recommendation as their preferred alternative. That will be coming out in the forest plan. And so we spent some time in interpreting. In other words, we have what we think is a pretty straightforward recommendation, but it needs to be translated into Forest Service speak. Okay. And things get lost in that translation. So that was the purpose of our meeting, was to ensure minimal loss. The Juneau Commission on Sustainability met on August 12th. They spent a lot of their time going through the energy plan and looking at the demand, trying to get good demand numbers. So working with a consultant, they were discouraged by the type of data that wasn't coming forward. So they've recently have had a lot of work sessions to try and beef up to make that energy plan as solid as it can be. So the commission is very engaged on that. They also had a presentation about locally grown foods. The Affordable Housing Commission has not met since I last reported, and they were going to meet tomorrow, but they changed that meeting to September 14th to accommodate the consultant with the housing plan being here.
Thank you, Ms. Pearl. Ms. Gladyszewski.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There was not an August meeting of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee. They were supposed to meet tomorrow, but they too moved their meeting. They moved it to next week, September 8th. So a different day and also a different time and a different room. September 8th, 6:15 in room 224. The Local Emergency Planning Committee met in August. Their next meeting is this Wednesday at noon at the hospital. They are planning for their big preparedness expo. They only do this every 2 years, so it's your chance to learn more about preparedness. So the big conferences, the big event will be September 11th and 12th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Friday and from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, and it's in Centennial Hall. The admission is free. There will be booths, and there's speakers and events, and there are training sessions anywhere between 40 and 60. Training sessions go from anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour on all kinds of topics, any sort of from financial planning to avalanche awareness, so planning your trip in the backcountry. Backcountry awareness, there'll be a CPR class, hands-only CPR class, you know, calm down, learn how to use your fire extinguisher. They're going to set something on fire all day long outside in the lawn. You can learn how to make it stop. So it's a two-day event, and you can learn a lot and encourage yourself and your friends. There's sessions specifically for seniors and people living with special needs. There's just a lot of work that goes into this. It's only every 2 years, so come out to Centennial Hall on the 11th and 12th of September and learn how to be prepared for anything that might happen.
Thank you, Ms. Bozuchowski. Ms. Frank.
Yes, the hospital board met last Tuesday evening, a rather lengthy meeting. They heard a presentation by the deputy clerk on the new CBJ email policy. They also had an ethics presentation by Jane Stevens. Ms. Stevens also presented an update on the Juneau Emergency Services contract, the GEMA contract, which is not finalized yet. The board has received a report from the McDowell Group on the needs assessment for CAMU, the Child Adolescent Health Mental Health Unit. It appears that there was no real consensus among stakeholders on the need. The committee is taking a very hard look at the study and at the numbers presented. They also received an update on the Joint Commission report. You all received an email with the good news that all of the conditions of participation have been met, and Bartlett will receive a report of full compliance. The rural demonstration project remains in limbo, which means we're leaking money every month. A bill for extension has been prepared, but it has not moved at this point. The next meeting of the hospital board will be the fifth Tuesday in September rather than the fourth. So that meeting will be the 29th. And they also set December the 5th for a strategic planning retreat. While I might also just give a very brief report on the AML summer meeting that was held recently in Ketchikan. We had a presentation from the governor, one from the commissioner of revenue, Mr. Hoffbeck, and Greg Erickson also presented a lengthy presentation on past revenue situations in Alaska and why this one is different. And so almost the entire meeting was spent discussing revenue options and the next legislative session and where we need to go from here.
All right, good. It's good to get down to those. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. They're not good to get down to.
Well, they're not good to get down
nope.
to, but we have to.
Yes, indeed.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The school board will have a work session tomorrow night on the proposed new STEM Elementary Charter School at the Thunder Mountain Library. And it will have its next regular meeting also at the Thunder Mountain High School Library September the 15th. I'm very much looking forward to the UAS Campus Council beginning to meet again with the advent of the new academic year and the new chancellor. That first meeting is not yet scheduled, so I don't have a report yet. But I do need to correct something Mr. Jones said. I attended the Downtown Business Association to talk about downtown parking. They brought up marijuana. That's it for liaison reports for me.
Details.
Thank you, Ms. White.
Okay, Juneau Convention and Visitors Bureau, as you may know, does a breakfast series during the summertime. The one coming up on September 8th is going to focus on how over the last 6 years, the Tongass investment into the recreational programs of the our national forest has been cut about 40%, which is actually more than twice the rate of the other recreational areas around the country. So they're going to focus on providing an update on the entire federal appropriations process on and how people can get involved to try to keep that portion of our economy moving. The Airport Board, as you know, you guys got most of your update today because we voted on a lot of appropriations. Part of what we voted on was moving towards increasing their ARF index from B to C, and I was told Merrill will know about this, and I think I understand quite a bit of it, but it has to do with the bigger aircrafts and more of them coming in. Probably the next big news for them is the runway will be shifting their magnetic variance to the runway 927 in the next year. That has to do with making sure all the electronic equipment in the planes is perfectly aligned with the exact position of the runway. So both groups have been pretty busy, but I'm going to keep it short. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. White. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Chamber of Commerce continues to be busy with having a board of directors meeting, I think this week. And the regular luncheon meetings continue on Thursday. They are going to hold a Meet the Candidate cruise. Kind of a nice thing, huh? On September 10th, it's $50, and call the office if you would like a ticket to go. As far as I know, they're not sold out yet. The Alaska Committee will resume meeting this month. The Southeast Conference Board meeting will be September 8th. And then travel to Southeast Conference will begin in the next few days after that, with the conference being the 15th through the 17th.
Okay.
Do you want to have all the rest of that stuff, or are you going to call for that? All the rest of the little things that we do.
That'll be under assembly comments and questions? Yeah. Okay, we'll do that in a minute. Okay, so that's all the liaison reports. There, we have no presiding officer reports. We'll move forward to assembly comments and questions. Ms. Becker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think there are other assembly members who joined me in this, but I attended 6 eating events. I mean, this town knows how to feed people. Many of us went to the Glacier Seafood operation to see their operation and their processing plant, and I joined the mayor and other assembly members to meet the British Columbia Minister of Mines, Bill Bennett, for another meal. The United Way had a reception, which was wonderful, and then I joined other assembly members and the mayor for the Bishop Kenny Peace Park dedication of Jim Fowler's artwork, and attended the Filipino Tlingit celebration. And you know how good that food was. So, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. White.
Well, I'd already been through Alaska Glacier Seafoods 4 times, so I figured I didn't need to do it again. I did enjoy the BC Mine entourage that came through, and thought it was interesting how everybody seemed to sit at tables that weren't necessarily with the people that they always agreed with. And so I found that enjoyable. And I was sorry that I was out of town most of your other meetings that you got fed at. But I'm glad to see she's eating. Thank you.
You got to eat king crab.
No, I shelled 9 cups of Dungeness.
There you go. See, Dungeness, just as good. Mr. Keel.
You suffer so much.
Yeah.
I do. Oh, yeah, and that coho, too.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I won't repeat. I attended most of the events that Ms. Becker did. I wanted to say a word as well about the Alaska Native Sisterhood and Filipino Community Inc. event on Saturday night. It was inspiring to see those two organizations, two real pillars of our community, get together and acknowledge the contributions each had made to the strength of this town. And then to thank you for your proclamation in honor of John Venables. He was inspiring. He really was. So I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir. Ms. Gray?
Nothing else this evening.
Ms.
got a second?
Nothing else this evening either, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Troll?
I'm sorry, I have one thing. I'll be quick about it. Several of us, you know, gotten an email from a constituent asking us to support, put a letter together to request that DOT move the Auk Bay Bypass Road further up on their list. And I did check with our local community development department to make sure that it was indeed compatible with the Auk Bay area plan and all of our previous planning things, and it is indeed, and I think it's appropriate for us to respond and make a request along those lines. And I didn't draft up a letter right now, but and I guess I'm asking for direction. I'd be happy to do that for your consideration at a later meeting, or does this go before Public Works?
No, it doesn't have to go before Public Works. You can just come to me and I'll do it, or you can draft up a little bit of a rough draft and then I'll finish it up and that'll be fine.
Okay, I'll be happy to do that, Mr. Mayor.
And that bypass is on all of our plans, so it's
already I'm just on behalf of everybody here who probably got that same request from a constituent, I think it's worthwhile to follow up on. So I'll be happy to initiate that. And I too enjoyed my tour of the Glacier Seafood and the dedication at the Peace Park. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Troll. Mr. Nankervis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Several things. First is for the manager's office. I have a couple of questions for the manager's office that I would like answered at the next assembly meeting. Last meeting, we had discussed a little bit about the trucks at the wastewater treatment plant, and I guess what I want to do is follow up a little bit on that, and I would like to know on the two trucks that we bought that we can't use, I would like to know how much money we spent on those two trucks. That's number one. When they were purchased, that's number two, when we purchased those. And the third is an estimate of the sale price that we think we can get for those on the market, what we can get when we sell those. And that was what I had for staff. I also got that letter regarding the bypass. And I guess I support the bypass, but I guess I want to look at the list of all our DOT projects, where we're at, on which ones, and I don't want to say that up. I'm where I would put that on the priority list, but it is a priority for, especially for the Auk Bay plan. But I guess I want to see where we're at on all our other projects. I don't want to push something aside that if we set it too high on the list, something we've been trying to get, like let's say West Douglas for such a long time, it gets bumped. I don't know if that would be the case or not, but it was a good idea and it's good for us to think about that. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, which might take us some time, is Wayne Coogan's proposal. I am slightly embarrassed that I didn't think of that and had to wait till I got a letter from Wayne saying, hey, did you think about housing? Because I actually really didn't think about it, putting housing down there. And I did meet with Wayne, sat down and talked with him, and I believe that he was looking at an earlier iteration of how that park would look down there and not the current one. And I believe it's possible, might be possible, to make both things work together, make the park work and the housing work down there. And I think it's worth us looking at that a little more in depth. And I don't know that there's anything on fire that we need to get that out to bid this week. I asked Mr. Watt when he thought that was going to go out, and he thought it was going to go out, scheduled to go out tomorrow. And I'm not sure for bid on the Seawalk Whale project. And I'm not sure we need to do that yet. I believe Wayne might be correct when he says that we might just need some tweaking or something. But I would like to hear what the other assembly members think.
All right. Thank you. And Ms. Troll, I think you had an answer to one of the questions.
Yes, regarding the Auk Bay bypass, it's my intent not so much to make this state that this is a priority, but just we want to get it off the long-term list and then the active list. And that's the intent of the letter that I will write.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Rest of the assembly members, any comments on Mr. Coogan's thoughts and ideas on housing down at the place where the whale's going to go and the park was going to go? And whether or not, does anybody from staff know when the whale project is going to be done, or when is the whale going to be here, or Do we know that, or is it going to be in storage for a year?
I don't believe we do have a date.
Mr. Watt?
Mr. Mayor, the Mr. Nankervis is correct. There's an ad in the paper tomorrow, advertising bids. The plan sets are all printed. It's all out the door for advertisement. So we envision about a year of construction to do all of the, and there, it's the big project. It's all the pieces. And we expect the sculpture to be here sometime in the spring.
And have you talked to the whale committee? I mean, do we know that for sure now or not? Who's
I am in contact with the whale committee, and I think the delivery of the sculpture is going to be on the same timeline as if, assuming we're building this project. You know, we've got to do all the fill and all that. So the delivery of the sculpture is going to be right in line with the rest of the project.
So is there any way that we can put off for a month so that we can evaluate this secondary proposal?
You can always put it off.
Pardon me?
You could put it off. There are, I'm sure there's complexity. I mean, off the top of my head, there are probably timelines in our regulatory permits when we can and can't do things. Mm-hmm. I don't know that a month is going to give you the time you need to evaluate the many, many different other concepts that you could look at for housing in that area. I mean, we're...
Need 2 months, 3 months?
Well, it took several years to develop the current project, and that there were a lot of meetings with Public Planning Commission, Parks and Rec, Docks and Harbors. There's a lot of issues, and we've just been on this trajectory for a long time. So if you were to circle back around and do a similar project on housing, I guess I'm not going to guess how long that would take. But it wouldn't be 1 month or 2 months.
Okay. Mr. Jones, I thought maybe you had your hand up to ask a question.
No, sir.
Okay. Anybody else down the road? Sure. Ms. White?
Sure. This just reminds me of a saying my dad used to say, you know, hang on to your money, you can only spend it once. And I feel the same way with our land. And while I recognize a lot of work has gone into trying to figure out where to put this whale, there's so much disagreement between people, you know, between different groups in our community. Shouldn't we at least listen and see what he has to say? I mean, senior housing is identified as a major need within our community. It's in every single one of those plans that they had piled up, that Mr. Steedle had piled up to his right the other day. I mean, I don't see the harm in taking a look and seeing to see if there's a way to make it all work. Just my thoughts here.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I think we'd be remiss if we put this out now. I know it's 11th and a half hour. It's almost striking midnight. One last slipper left here, but I think we would be remiss not looking at this, because as Ms. White just said, we got one chance for this chunk of dirt down there, and we keep pushing housing over and over and over again. And again, like I said, I'm embarrassed I didn't think of that, and I had to have Wayne come to me to say something. But I prefer we didn't put it out in the newspaper tomorrow. Give us a little chance to digest this and discuss some things and see if it is even feasible or not. If it's not feasible, the sooner we can figure that out, then sooner we can move on. But if it is feasible, then I don't want us to be too late and already have put it out to bid.
Thank you, Mr. Nankervis. Ms. Gray.
I disagree. We've made a decision on where this whale is going to go. If we wanted to consider housing down there, we need to be looking at it more broadly than Mr. Coogan's proposal. You know, we need land for the senior assisted living center. I just think we'd be in the weeds for a very long time, not 2 or 3 months. I think a decision has been made, and frankly, I would prefer that we stay that decision, that we keep with that decision.
Thank you. Anybody else? Ms. Becker?
It is really hard to turn down a possibility of housing, because that's what we wanted. But I do believe that where that whale would go has been researched, and I've not seen another place from what Mr. Watt has shown us where that whale could go. And even though maybe I wouldn't have necessarily wanted to be responsible for having to put the whale somewhere, we are responsible. And I'm not even sure one of the places for putting the whale, I don't know that we'd ever get it permitted because of where it would be. I don't know. So I have really hard time with this because I want the housing, but I really think we're pretty far down the road to be making a change right now. So I guess I agree with Ms. Crane. I think we almost have to go. We've made the decision.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I guess maybe I didn't state it adequately enough, but I think there's a possibility to get both down there, both the whale sculpture and some housing. And if we don't look at it, we won't get both. That's for sure. And I guess if folks are interested in trying to look at housing down there, then vote me down. But I'm going to move we don't put that in the paper tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm going to give the gavel to Ms. Becker here so she can be in charge of it. Mm-hmm. And I'll just say, I thought we were down and on a course and moving forward, but I think this proposal is a good idea. Now, whether that idea will even fit at that bridge, some people have looked at it and said, yes, it would. Our staff hasn't looked at it all the way and said it would at the level that it's at. But I think that we should give it a fair shake. If we are truly concerned about housing, whether it be senior housing or starter housing or in-between housing, we need all of those sets of housing to accommodate our need in our community. And I just think we should not forego. If we could put this off for a month and look at it, give it a serious look and say these are the reasons to do it, and these are the reasons not to do it, I think that would be a smart decision to make from our level. So it could be pro or con there, I don't know, but I think that we need to give it a fair shake.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Becker, go ahead.
Thank you.
Got it back.
I guess I have a question for Mr. Watt. One of the suggestions was to have the building, which whoever buys that property, housing building there, then move the whale down, kind of where we were going to have the environmental area,
the island.
So where you know the walkway, where the environmental area was going to be underneath. So I think is that the spit? That's more down by the. It's closer. It's closer to the bridge. Closer to the Gold Creek Bridge, that area. Is that a possibility, do you think? Pretty unfair to ask you that, but what do you think?
We've been through this multi-year process, Planning Commission, Corps of Engineers, joint decision on managing the land between docks and harbors and parks and rec, assembly resolutions, a lot of community input, the whale committee certainly has spent a lot of time and effort and will have opinions. So I think any change is going to take a long time to consider. It's not going to be one thing. It took a long time for our current plan to coalesce. The only piece of ground that's not really entirely spoken for is the site where the Marine Exchange building was proposed to go. So in fact, there are some uplands that are a little bit of a placeholder for some type of facility. That would be the one. I mean, if you wanted to put some housing in there, there is a little bit of room where that Marine Exchange building, where something probably could be developed. But if we're modifying the seawalk and the whale location, frankly, I just see a lot of public process, a lot of permitting consideration, and a lot of comment from the public.
Ms. White.
You know, I'm not sure that if what I'm going to say is really going to come out right and be really popular or even be really the right thing to say, but I'm having a hard time with the idea that we're going to take, and granted, I agree, it's a beautiful piece of artwork, and there's a lot of work that's gone into it, a lot of time, but that's going to be our priority over senior housing. I'm sorry, but it's me. I look at that, and our priorities are messed up. I think we need to look at what he has to say. That's the last thing I'll say about it, but I don't understand.
Okay, everybody had their say? Ms. Gladyshevsky?
If we go toward the, let's think about this. Let's be clear, this is going to take a long time. You know, if we could be assured that we would take a one-month look at it and sort of it would be the scoping month just to scope out how long would it take, what would we have to do? We can't just take Mr. Coogan's proposal. This is public land that we would have to go out to bid, and there would have to be, I mean, we're talking a long, long time for something like this. And it is very hard to say we don't, I mean, what we say all the time is we want housing. You know, if we could actually get housing down there, why haven't we talked about it for the last 5 years? This plan's been on the table for, the waterfront plan has been on the table for
10 years.
Over 10 years. And now at the, you know, 11:59, we're suddenly rethinking all of this. Having said that, if we could scope it out for a month, I mean, and I mean a month, to scope out what would the process be? How would we dispose of that land? But I don't know what we could get done in a month. Otherwise, we're talking several years of RFPs and bidding and redesigning, and we're not talking a short process. We're not talking anything short.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Nankervis, did you want to make a motion? Mr. Nankervis?
Sure, Mr. Mayor. Sorry, I lit my little battery signal. I had to clear my screen.
Okay.
Yeah, my motion was not to advertise that in the paper, and I think what Ms. Gladyshevsky said about scoping thing, yeah, I think we ought to be able to figure out in a month or not whether this is something that is feasible or isn't feasible. And like I said, I'd prefer to see it in Beaufort because we've talked about putting the whale down there, but if the rest of it's just going to sit in park versus sitting in as housing, I would rather have it sitting as housing than sitting as a park underneath the bridge than in Tiger Park. So that's where I'm standing. Thank you.
Thank you. So your motion is to put off the bid release for a month so we can evaluate housing in that area.
Sure. And I'd be willing to sit down with engineering and Mr. Coogan, whoever else I need to sit down and try and look at this. Or all of us could. But I mean, I would be willing to step forward and do that.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Becker?
Thank you. It just keeps occurring to me that we can't give that project. That project cannot be sold to Mr. Coogan just because he's got a great idea that we like. I mean, it looks cool, and we can't do that. So a month, we're not going to know if a project will work because we will not know who's going to get the bid to have that land, unless that person just steals Mr. Coogan's ideas and puts it there, if he didn't get it. I don't know. I don't think a month is going to do it for us, but...
Mr. Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would guess if Mr. Watt reported that it's going to be in tomorrow's paper, passing Mr. Nankervis's motion is moot, because I'm sure that order was put in days ago. It's probably already in the press. It's probably already been printed. We could easily notify everybody that, it went out. We could cancel future ones and, you know, or put an ad in the paper that cancels it and puts it off for a month. But just the motion that we not go into paper tomorrow is a moot question. Secondly, I understand, you know, everybody's concerned about, well, you know, we can't just sell the land to Mr. Coogan, or we can't do this, or we can't do that. Nobody's mentioned the fact that maybe we shouldn't sell the land at all, and if we want to see housing developed, we keep the land and we just lease it to a developer to build on our land. That hasn't been considered. I don't know that that decision could be scoped out in a month, but that would be an idea I would have. I wouldn't give up that land down there. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't sell it. I would make sure that we get some housing that we want based on, you know, some kind of rent or revenue. And I am not enamored with anything that's been built down there. I mean, you know, we argued over the Plywood Palace for years and whether or not we replaced that and whether or not people were getting sick there. And Juno Hotel is not exactly, not an eyesore, but it's certainly not the Taj Mahal. And so I just think voting for this is not the right motion. I don't know what the right motion is, but I'm not sure that I would want to get in a position where the scoping is just simply, you know, would we sell it and what kind of development will we sell it for, but I'm not sure I want to give up that land.
That's some of the decisions that have to be made in that next month.
Absolutely.
Anybody else? Mr. Keel.
Just to say, Mr. Mayor, that I've been wrestling with this notion since we first got the email about it, and I share Ms. Becker's reluctance to let it go. But the more I think about it, I mean, we have had an extensive public process on this issue and the disposition of the land there. And I mean, I don't remember how many Parks and Rec Advisory Committee meetings on this topic, or hours of public testimony, the joint meetings between the PRAC and Docks and Harbors Board, and then staff time, assembly time, and we are at the point where there's an ad in the paper tomorrow. I would be amenable to looking at the land that we had planned for a maritime center that's not going to be built there because Marine Exchange is building another building on another site. The land that we have talked to Docks and Harbors about them managing, if there is a proposal that could work in that area by the bridge that is not ready to go out for bid. I would be willing to revisit those other portions, but I think at this point, as Ms. Crane said, the city has made a decision, and it's permitted. It's got the core permits, which are no small lift, and I think it's time to move on this piece.
Thank you, Mr. Kidd. Anybody else? Okay, we have a motion before us to put this off for 30 days. Ms. Sika, please take the roll.
Mr. Mayor, a technical clarification that may or may not be important. So the ad is in the paper. We're advertising for bids. So the motion should be clear that we're either canceling the bid So we'd put an ad in the paper the next day, canceling it. Or if you're asking us to let it ride and extend the opening and just while there's some interim process. So two different things.
Mr. Nankervis, did you hear his possibility of extending the bid instead of canceling it?
I did. I didn't hear any pros or cons to either one, if he has any.
If you cancel it, I think that would signal that we're going to take a while before we get back to it, before we advertise for bids. If you extend the bid date, then we're going to kind of maintain that set of bid documents that we've prepared and try and bring this to closure quickly.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Mr. Watt, I would say just extend then. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Gladys Jeffs.
May I ask a maker of the motion, what exactly are we going to do in is the motion say about what we're going to do in 30 days? We're going to extend the bid, leave it open 30 days longer.
So we can examine the feasibility of putting housing down there and a whale sculpture.
Ms. Sika, do you have all that now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to have before us to extend the bid, whatever recommendation Mr. Watt has, I guess, to what that extension needs to be, and to look at the feasibility of putting housing down at the site.
Co-locating okay. Housing and the whale sculpture.
Yes, co-locate, yeah. I should have had you read it.
And that's for an additional 30 days, or do you want to be specific?
Do you want to be specific on the time? Yeah, he said 30 days. I think.
Okay.
Yes, 30 days. Okay, if you've got it,
yep. You
can call the roll.
Ms. Crane?
No.
Mr. Jones?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
No.
Mr. Nankervis?
Yes.
Ms. Troll?
No.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. So we have a half hour. Did we finish? Let's see, Mr. Jones. Are you done, Mr. Nankervis?
I think I better be. I better be glad I'm out here where you guys can't reach me.
You're doing just fine, Mr. Jones.
Oh my God. I'm going to skip my comments, Mr. Mayor, and I guess we're going to have a motion to go into executive session. But before we go into executive session, I would like to make a motion that under our rules we extend our meeting to 11:30.
Is there any objections to that? Oh, seeing no objections. Thank you, Mr. Jones. And we'll move into continuation of public participation on non-agenda items. Is there anybody out there in the public who wishes to talk to us about a non-agenda item? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Ms. Becker, could you move us into executive session?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we go into executive session to discuss the proposed Bicknell decision on appeal per CBJ 01.50.14063 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? Is there any objection from the public of us going into executive session? Seeing and hearing none. If you want to stay, I don't know how long this is going to take us, but you can see we've extended our time to 11:30. And if you want to take chairs out there and sit, you're more than welcome to. So we'll take a little 5-minute break right here. If you come right back in 5 minutes, we'll get going.
At 14, I smoked a pack a day. At 18, I was diagnosed with mental illness. I didn't know at the time that the cigs were being used to control and manipulate me. I wanted to quit smoking for years. I finally did it, but with support. For the first time, I had hope that I could live a healthy life. I even started running again. You can quit too. Talk to your case manager, doctor, or pharmacist about quitting, or call Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line at 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Brought to you by the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Southeast and Search.
You are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. The time is 10:34. We have been listening to the live broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They are currently in executive session to discuss Bicknell's appeal of the Planning Commission's denial of the request for rezoning. I plan to broadcast the end of the meeting when they come back from executive session. Tonight, numerous rain showers, lows around 45. Tomorrow, decreasing clouds, highs around 56. Wednesday, partly cloudy, highs around 60. Thursday through Friday, partly cloudy, highs around 58.
Alaska Community Action on Toxics, YWCA, and Alaska Run for Women invite everyone to a free lecture, What the Pink? Protecting the Breasts You Love. A national panel of experts will teach you about the science linking toxic chemicals and breast cancer and what you can do about it. Attend on September 3rd at the Jack, beginning at 6:30 p.m. For more information, visit akaction.org.
Programming is supported by Alaska Graphics, showcasing businesses and organizations through on-screen advertising at Gross Alaska Movie Theaters, now including animation, video, and optional audio. Information on advertising on the big screen at akonscreen.com.
Life walk by, wishing it was.
there?
I am. Thank you.
Okay. Loud and clear. Thank you. So we'll come back into regular meeting. During executive session, we discussed the decision brought down by the hearing officer, Mr. John Corsell, on the Bicknell versus Planning Commission and Territorial Sportsman proposed decision. So, what's the wishes of the assembly, Ms. Crane?
Well, I will start with a motion that we move to concur with the hearing officer that this appeal is ultimately a legislative decision of this body.
Is there any objection to that first step? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. Ms. Crane?
I would further make a motion to move to concur with the Planning Commission that the proposed rezone did not substantially conform with the land use maps, and we therefore decline to have an ordinance brought before us.
Okay, Jeff.
Thank you.
I have Jeff, too.
Thank you. So we have before us, did you get all of that? I'm sorry. I'm going to depend on you, Ms. Sika, and not repeat it myself.
Motion by Crane to concur with the Planning Commission that the rezone did not substantially conform with the land use maps and to decline to have an ordinance brought before the Assembly.
Thank you.
And it was objected to by Ms. White and Ms. Becker.
And Ms. Becker? Okay. So, any discussion?
Just want to put one out there.
Ms. White?
You know, I think the staff recommendations were a little bit closer to what's actually going on, and while I know that this is relatively young land that's experiencing isostatic rebound and the land is changing, the fact is it's adjacent to a very busy airport. It's really close to two heliports, a four-lane highway, window manufacturing, welding shop, Fred Meyer's. It's not wilderness, and whatever it is today, in 20 years, it's going to be another 20 inches out of the wetland status. So I would prefer that we put forward a rezoning ordinance.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Nan Kervis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would concur with Ms. White. I also object to the motion. I sat through all the Planning Commission meetings on this topic. And now I've sat through a year and a half, almost 2 years, waiting for this appeal to reach us. And I know as I sat through the Planning Commission meetings, I disagreed with the commissioner's decision at the time, and I still do. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nan Kervis. Ms. Becker, anything?
No, I agree. I think that it's we should rezone it and let that land be used for something that would be valuable to our community.
Anybody else down the way? Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will support the motion. The land is not zoned anything like wilderness, and the landowner has significant rights in its current zoning. At the same time, the Planning Commission did spend vast amounts of time. As Mr. Nankervis said, I won't pretend I've read everything, but I've read hundreds of pages, staff reports and public comments and minutes. And I think former Planning Commissioner Bishop may have been the most outspoken when he talked about the will of the public. But others talked about the land use maps of the comprehensive plan, and so nobody should get the impression that my vote tonight has the effect of preserving this land untouched in its current zoning. There's a lot of development potential to it, but I think the Planning Commission ultimately got this one right, and so I will support the motion.
Thank you. Anybody else? So we have objection. Can we get a roll call, please, Ms. Sika?
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Ms. Bartoszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Nankervis?
No.
Ms. Troll?
Yes.
Ms. White?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Mayor Sanford?
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, is there anything else, Ms. Mead, that we need to do on this issue?
You need to make a decision about the rest of the decision forwarded. You need to accept it as written, modify it, or reject it. There was a motion that you concur with Mr. Corso's final conclusion that this is a legislative decision, but as to the rest of the decision, what is your wish?
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that as to the remainder of the decision, we adopt the hearing officer's findings, except for his finding that the decision of the Planning Commission is not supported by adequate written findings.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Anything else, Ms. Mead?
No.
Thank you. Anything for the good of the order from this assembly?
Good night.
Mr. Jones, you want us to just sit here and talk for another 4 minutes?
No, we can easily leave early, Mr. Mayor.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.
You are tuned to KTOO. This concludes the broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting for tonight. The next one will be Monday, September 21st, and we will broadcast that right here on KTOO. We will now join the BBC World Service in progress. My name is Martha Moore. Thanks for listening, and have a good evening.
We are essentially a collection of feelings and, I guess, wants and needs and all these things, and tastes, obviously, right? And just because you are now traveling across Europe in, yes, quite frankly, an insane fashion, it doesn't mean you've lost who you are. You know, I remember when I was 10 years old, I remember listening to a pilot in the first Gulf War, an American pilot, and I think he said something, and I might be paraphrasing here. He said that flying a mission is 2.5 hours of sheer boredom and 10 minutes of sheer insanity.